Blog Talk Radio. Love your mother, love your father, love your sister, love your brother, love your brother, love your mother, love your brother.
Don't go and talk about my father.
Welcome you to yet another episode of Black Power Radio. We are live tonight in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and we are just about all over the world at 196,940,000 square miles of the planet Earth. But nevertheless, if you'd like to dial in tonight, please dial 515-605-9889. I am your host, the Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar Abdullah Kareem, and you know that we stay live with it, and we give you more of actually what you listen to your talk radio for. And we have the most informative radio talk show on the internet, and some I've heard maybe have dialed in tonight on their Android, and someone even said they were on their paranoid phone. Whether you have a smartphone or a dumb phone, or you might even have a laptop or a desktop tonight, by whatever means that you have tuned into Black Power Radio, you could have been golfing, playing tennis, some tabletop, some badminton, or some good mittens, or you could have been just playing some beard whist and a good old hand of spades tonight. But by whatever means you did decide to tune into Black Power Radio tonight, and remember to put your links out, because all those links play forever lasting. Black Power Radio is all over the world, and we are happy to be with you tonight. We're in part two of We Must, and Why Must They Demand the Ultimate Sacrifice of Our Sons and Our Daughters. We'll be interviewing tonight with the Reese Lane family. We'll be talking to some of our co-hosts around the country, and we hope that you also will stay live with us on Black Power Radio tonight. We know that the untold story of Lavelle Najah Lane and the untold story of Keisha Lawan Lucille Tate, they are young people who were, from what we are doing the investigation now, saying these executions, these murders have been carried out by white nationalists. They are very much akin to those Roger Stone who's battling with Wooden Tooth 45.5, old Wooden Tooth. What his name is, Giuliani, old Rudy Giuliani, that network of white nationalists under Steve Bannon. We can name these white nationalists all hooked in, hooked out, old Palmetto, the CIA man, and all of these renegade, most of these demons don't have a job, and so they're just doing little devastations around the country, putting up dirt wherever you can find no socks and monkeypox and all of these cliches from pandemic 19. Some call it Pandolian 19. Others just call it the good old COVID. But they have put dis-ease and disease all around us. And every chance they get, they'll be putting a black man in a body bag. They will pay you up to $1 million a body bag for the melanin of a black man, a woman, or child at this hour. There's no secrets. There's nothing new under the sun. The Yule has been rivaling with us over centuries, and it's not a new song and dance. But for those here in the revolution and those that are working strong against the opposition, we take exception with that. And we're going to hit our co-host, and there are multitudes of hosts around the world. But our co-host is tonight right here in Spartanburg with us, our beloved brother and a strong man for Black Revolution, Brother Ty Nitt, is rolling with us tonight. And we're going to welcome you to Black Power Radio. And I'm live with Sheikh Ali Mam Akbar and Brother Ty Nitt, and talk black to us from your good old hometown here in Spartanburg, South Carolina. You can talk black.
Hey, Black Power. Black Power, how y'all doing out there? It's a beautiful day.
Oh, man, we're doing wonderful in yourself, sir.
Hey, I can't complain. If I did, what good would that do?
Complain don't do no good, no how. Come on.
Man, it's rough. It's rough, bro. It's rough out here. We just got to keep on moving. Keep on grooving, baby. Take it day by day. Like you said, ain't nothing new, man. They out here, they trying to kill us. They even got people brainwashed to kill each other. They got us set up the way we'll kill each other, man. They ain't even scared to move to our neighborhoods because they know really half of the time we ain't really killing them. We killing each other before we kill one of them. That ain't a good thing, man. That's pretty rough, man. They moving in next door. So they can watch us even closer.
But what you're saying contains a lot of truth and a lot of substance in there. We want to start bearing witness. And maybe we need to clean up our act while we're cleaning town, because they say it's a new sheriff in town here in Spartanburg. I've been hearing a buzzword. Go ahead.
And this is what I'm talking about. When they can move next door to you, man, they can watch you even closer, put the police on you. When they gentrify these areas, man, they say, well, we gonna get rid of these niggas. We're going to get them out of here. We're going to push them to the outskirts where they really can't afford nothing. So they coming in, they buying up our houses that should be belonging to us, the half of the people renting, and they moving in, and they pushing us out. But where we going to go to? If we can't stay right here where we can afford it or could afford it before they came in and jacked everything up, where we going to move to? And they doing this in every city. It don't matter if you're living in a little country town, you living in Los Angeles, New York, man, they done did it everywhere that I done been. And I done been around this whole country, man. So we gotta take it day by day, man, and learn how to treat one another. That's how I say it. Treat one another with love and kindness. Every time I turn on the TV, another one of us done killed another one of us. I won't never turn on the TV and see a young black man killed several white folks. He killed his neighbor, which was a white guy. Every time I turn on the TV, I see a man that looked like me. They got killed by a man that looked like me. There's something wrong with that, man. Because clearly, you see who the real enemy is, right? We know who he is. He's been plaguing our society from 500 years ago.
And he was
across the world to sow dirty seeds in every race, in every country. Diseases, man. Every disease known came from the white man. AIDS, syphilis, gonorrhea, shingles, anything you name, it came from them. COVID-19, and they try to spread it amongst us. They tried to formulate a formula that'll spread amongst us quicker than it'll spread amongst them. And they're working on that recipe. I promise you, they're working on it. So every day, man, exercise. Eat right and have a healthy mind is number one. A healthy mind, healthy body. And you can't go around having an attitude and being mad at everybody. That's not producing healthy hormones in your body. You got to smile and just be happy. You know what I'm saying? Feed your brain oxygen. You do that by exercising. And watch what you put into your brain. Read good things. Read every day. Read. That's all I can tell you, you know?
Well, brother, you said a lot, man, and we have to, again, be mindful of what we are processing in our intellectual body, our spiritual body, and certainly watch out for what you're putting in your physical body at this hour. And with that said, we're going to reach out and try to bring the family on board, brother, Let me see. We're looking here at our beloved brother, Ty, and we may have lost one, but we're working on it. And I'm hoping those with their hands up on the family. I got a 718-718. We want y'all to chime in here at 718. And we want you to raise your hand by pressing 1. All of those desiring to speak tonight, I think we do have the Lane family lit up tonight. We got so many 718s tonight. I got to reach out to the 347s, the 718. We got the 704 and the 336 in the house. Carolina's in the house tonight. He'll be giving you updates. We all got to go into Roxborough in a couple of days, and we all got to get tuned up and warmed up for that. But welcome, family. And I know we have Mrs. Belinda. She is the spokesman for the Lane family, and her husband is there. And they have a host of family members across South Carolina. Then they're spread all over the country. I've seen these people from the Reese Lane family come in from all over the country, and they've been sent off back, and most of them have reached a safe destination. Brother Elijah up in New York and his crew and all of those around the country. Welcome, Mrs. Belinda, Mrs. Beverly Lane, or we say Mrs. Beverly Reese Lane. And we thank you for joining us tonight. Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Power to the people. Welcome aboard.
Power to the people. Today, good evening, everyone. Today we went to, first we went to the coroner. Nothing. Then we went to the sheriff's office. Nothing. Then we went to Midway. I went to Midway, the residential home when where Lavelle was staying, where he was residing, and I got his belongings, you know, what little he had, because he hadn't been too long, got back to Midway from New York. And, excuse me, I opened up his wallet, and he had the bus ticket that his dad and I had sent for him in that wallet, and I lost it. I really lost it because, you know, it just opened up the wound all over again of not knowing. You know, that's the heart-wrenching part that I'm going through. You know, I carried that boy 9 months. He got siblings. He has a father that planted that seed. God is the creator, but I'm the vessel. But I don't know why my son is in the ground. And, you know, they're not telling me nothing. And I'm going to these agencies, and I'm asking questions, and it's like a puzzle with pieces missing. I'm not getting no answers. And I don't think that's fair. To me, it's being a mother. To me, it's being a human being. I mean, it's just sad that they know, and they're not letting us know. It's not just me. It's us. Everybody on this line. We want to know why Lavelle is not here inhaling and exhaling. And they're not telling us. They're not telling us. I haven't spoken to with these different agencies that I named, the coroner, the Spartanburg Detention Center. The only place I didn't go was the hospital where he was sent. And I asked Midway, you know, do they have people that escort? Because I thought if you was in the mental facility that you have escort to and fro where you go, especially the hospital. She said, no, they're not equipped with that. They don't have staff to do that. If they need to go out to the hospital, they send them themselves, which, I mean, that's their policy, and there's nothing I can do about it. But I don't think that's right either. But going fast forward, when I opened up that wallet, you know, we had left. We was on our way to get something to eat because it was around lunchtime. And I opened up that wallet, and that was relived all over again when that coroner knocked on my door and told me my son was deceased. You know, I just lost it. And I still, as today is day 16, I still don't have no answers as to why, what, where, and who. I still don't have no answers. So I don't have no closure. I don't know what to think. I mean, in the beginning when we went to the coroner's office that afternoon of the 4th, I mean, he gave us his little spiel, his little part of what he's seen and what he think he's seen and what he ain't telling me he's seen. And, I mean, that's all I got. But today we went to see him, and his name is Jonathan Nodine. He was hushed. He was standoffish today. When we went there the next day after Lavelle was dead, I mean, he had a whole lot of empathy. He had a whole lot of compassion. Today, he didn't even break us in the back. He came out where we was in the little foyer with a pissy old nasty chair. Make sure you don't sit down with one chair, and it looked like it had been pissed in over the past 20 years. So it smelled pissy in the coroner's office, in the coroner's corridor, and he just told us, Sled got it. He said, well, my husband asked, Andy asked, did you see any more footage? He said, yes, I did. He said, but I've been informed that Sled has this case, and I can't disclose no more than what I told you. So once again, I was dismissed. That's just the best way I can put it. They keep dismissing me. They keep dismissing me. And it's really making me angry. It's to the point where, you know, the sad part, I'm going to always be sad. I'm going to be sad the rest of my life because he's no longer here to call me, hey, Mama Do, Mama Do, what it do? That's how he always called me and answer the phone. Mama Do, what it do? I ain't going to hear that no more. Like I told him, I said, you go home and play with your kids. You'll watch your kids go to school. You'll watch your kids go out and play football. I ain't got that no more. And why y'all won't tell me no information? You won't tell me nothing. I said, where's the footage? When can I see this footage? We don't know. Sled got it. He gave me the Sled man's phone number once again. I already got that logged in my phone. You didn't have to give me that again. The same captain, David Hughes. Oh, I'm so sorry. I don't want to hear that rehearsed bullshit. I don't. I'm just telling you straight up. I don't. I don't want to hear that rehearsed thing that they tell you to tell people's family. Because it wasn't sincere to me. Because you being sincere, you will show me that footage. But everybody got a boss. So I guess Sled is over the Sled is over the police. So Sled is directing them. So that had to, the officer that had to go get the captain today, but the first time we went there, he wasn't there. So we went on, he said he'd be back by 2 o'clock. It was like 11. So we went on to Midway. Midway was like 20 minutes from Spartanburg. It's in Moore. It's right on the outskirts of Spartanburg. So we went to the facility where Lavelle was staying. So I went to get up, pick up his property. So we talked to his counselor that was over him at Midway. And she had explained to me over the phone, but me, my daughter, the oldest one, next to the oldest, Roxanne and Andrea was there. So I had her sit there and explain it to me again in my face. So we took pictures of when he first arrived. When he first went there, it was 2018. That's when he first, and he went back to New York last year, and he was going through changes. He was homeless up in New York. So when he begged us for him again, me and my husband, he was just different because he was off his medication for over a year. So he just had regressed, and you know, he had to start all over again, and he wasn't stable when he got back down here. He said they was giving him the wrong medicine, and the shot that they gave him, the police administrated Lavelle a shot when he got to that hospital, when he got to that jailhouse too. We got a copy of what they gave him. He said she don't know what that is and why they gave it to administrate him, because I thought the police was for the police. I didn't know they had medical degrees. They admit, and then they gave him two shots, one in his hip and one in his butt. Now she made copies of it. I got it in my folder that I carry, that I put every person that I talk to and every information I have with names and numbers in my folder.
It was the doctor that gave him the shot. It wasn't the police. It was the medical people.
Oh, it was medical people. My daughter said they gave him a shot. A nurse, right? A nurse? Oh, the doctor in the jail gave him the shot. Still, why would you just randomly give him two shots? What were those, tranquilizers? She said because when he got back to the facility, She said he was in the back seat, shirtless, shackled, with the chain around his waist, shackled at his hand and his wrist, and shackles on his feet. But he was shirtless. She said he was so out of it, took two of them. She called the girl name that came and helped her take him out of the police car. But I'm just saying, look.
It's a form of like a shrink downer. It took them down. It's a mood altering.
Yeah, you're in somewhat of a matrix. I meant for one mic. But yes, ma'am. And now from what we are getting in our end of the report, that there's been no chaplain visit from the family for this family. There's no psychological evaluation of what impact has had on the family. And no,
not at all.
Not a sufficient apology, or I don't think they send anyone out to the funeral. They may have. I didn't notice. But nevertheless, there have been a gross mismanagement, malfeasance, a weird, peculiar form of criminal neglect. It's obvious that
one thing I want to
abuse of power.
I want to emphasize this, Mr. Akbar. When is it against the law to walk down the street? That's the beginning and the end. When
it
is it against the law to walk down the damn street?
Because
they arrested him for. Because I don't even
well,
think
their
he got
attempt
the
to criminalize and to vilify us, and in an attempt to set us up and turn around and kill us. We'll set you up, take what you have, and kill you, according to the Honorable Marion Barry, who taught me much about this social and political arena in America.
Get through here.
So,
who opened it?
Okay. So we want to hear from, we've got about four or five lines open on 718-718, and maybe we could pass the microphone. Everybody mute up yourself when you're not speaking. I want one member. Can you know you're going to pass it to Sister Beverly?
I don't know who's on the line. Somebody speak.
I've got 718. I've got a 21. I've got 718. I've got a 290. I've got 718. I've got a 930. And I've got...
Hi, everyone. This is...
Okay, go ahead. Peace out. Salaam alaikum. Everybody else mute out yourself, because I've got your mics open, so everyone else mute out. Leaving one mic on the sister. Go ahead.
Hello, everyone. I hope that we can get some justice and we can get some peace, but I honestly can say that every time I hear about it or I think about it, it's very traumatizing. We hear these stories all the time, but to know that it actually happened to my brother and to know that we may not have been there to protect him, he may have been so scared.
For our vast listening audience, beloved sister, please state your name and where you're calling from and a little bit about your brother and sister relationship. Go ahead.
My name is Alila Jones. I live in Brooklyn, New York. I am Lavelle's sister. I'm 36 years old. Lavelle was 29. And this really hits me to the core. I may not get my words out because I'm kind of choked up just to know that my brother had to go through that.
Ma'am, go ahead and take your time, beloved.
I really just want some type of justice. I want this to stop for all of and it hurts to know that our men get the most trauma. It is hard. I know this for them being African American, Kushite kings, Ethiopian kings, Kush people, the original Aboriginal people, they suffer the most. Their manhood is always being targeted. I don't know what my brother experienced before he transitioned, but I want to say, like, even from here in Brooklyn, I maybe couldn't make it there, but I'm going to do what I can over here on my side. And that's my reason for calling in tonight. It's because I love my brother, and I want justice to be served.
Yes, ma'am. That's a sincere aspiration. The Black Panther Party and all those black activists are going to support you, beloved sister, and your family to see to it that, that justice is going to be done in the case of LaVell Langford.
And you said something that was really important. It's true. Like, when stuff like this happens to families, you really don't know how it affects them. And I can honestly say, like, I told my father how I felt. I'm not going to repeat it here on the line because I don't know who's in the line, who's called in. But my father knows how I felt about the situation. And
yes,
I just don't think it's fair. And I think we really do have to do something. We have to.
Absolutely. I'm going to bring your two activists. Everybody stay right there with me. Everybody remain where you are. I'm going to bring the chief of staff and our activists from New York as well, the friend of the family. Hold on, just let them add their mics out. Break the ice for us. Brother Chief of Staff is right out there, and he's been managing a part of the case, and he helped to do the pallbearer to bring the body to the from the church to the hearse. And we are thankful to a brother like Ezreal that will do whatever he can do in the region and throughout the nation to help us. And thank you, Brother Ezreal, for being patient tonight, and thank you for being live on Black Power Radio.
Peace and Black Power. As-salamu alaykum, my brothers and sisters. Can everyone hear me?
You're coming loud and clear here, sir.
Yes, sir. Thank you. In these times, in these hours, where our people, our brothers and sisters, our husbands and wives, sons and daughters are being unjustifiably targeted by law enforcement, it is imperative that now more than ever we stand together and let this oppressor and these oppressors, regardless of who they are, know and understand with full transparency that this will stop. We're not coming to ask for it to stop. We're not coming to beg for it to stop. We are going to make it stop. We only have ourselves. We don't have any allyship in this. We don't have anybody backing us up on this. So we need to take the initiative to do this for ourselves. The Honorable Marcus Messiah Garvey stated that any leadership teaches you to rely upon another race is a race that will enslave you. We have been a slave and enslaved in so many different ways. We are enslaved mentally to actually believe that this oppressor, through his so-called justice system, is going to lift a finger to get justice for us. Malcolm said justice is one of the things that we do not ask for, but we take. Equality is something that we do not ask for, we take. Now, ever since we've been here, or ever since we were brought here by this oppressor, we have done everything that was forced upon us, and even some of those things we take initiative to do. We tried to be law-abiding. We tried marching. We tried demonstrating. We tried keeping the peace. We tried separation, even in our own. But regardless of what we do to deal with this oppressor, and this oppressor still remains a thorn in our side. It's time to pull that thorn out. It's time to stop allowing this oppression, because at some point we got to stop passing the blame to the oppressor and take some of the responsibility, because at this time, with all that we have and what all is available to us, it becomes a point and apparent that on some parts of this, it is because we are not doing the necessary precautions and things of that nature to do what we need to do on our own. This devil is not going to give us anything, not going to do one thing for us, especially that doesn't benefit his own good. So at this time, we need to take it upon ourselves. We have the tools. We have the capital. We have everything that we need. We have the mindset. We have those within our people with the intelligence, both mental and the physical ability to do what needs to be done. We just have to do it. No longer are we sitting here singing, "We shall overcome." At this point, it's "We shall overrun." I am tired of my people, sick and tired of my people, holding hands with this oppressor. I'm sick and tired of seeing our people settle out of court with this oppressor. After everyone knows, and once it's been verified in the court of law that they were in the wrong, I'm tired of seeing these cops killing us and getting off of qualified immunity. Brothers and sisters, wake up. We've done everything by the book. Time to do something different. The very definition of insanity is to do the same thing expecting a different result. We have sung enough. We have begged enough. We have pleaded enough. We have done nothing enough. Now it's time to do what needs to be done. We need to start sending messages to these devils and these oppressors. And when I say devils and oppressors, that means some of our own people. They need to understand as well. Anybody who sides with this devil and oppressor, anyone who will sit here and co-sign and side with this oppressor, they need to be branded a traitor and understand that they are a traitor to their race. We need to stand up. We need to take action on all fronts. And when we return to South Carolina, we will do just that.
Power to the people. Power to the people. We thank our chief of staff for those comments and know that we are not going to let the crook off the hook. Did not come to pacify. It just go through the tulips. Definitely got full, as Dr. Collett would tell us, enough Negro stuff. We are the real deal where the rubber meets the road. We will take action against those who have killed our beloved brother and our beloved son, who did not deserve even to be arrested on a charge of walking the highway. And all of those law enforcement knew exactly who he was, knew exactly what they were supposed to do, and call in the health professionals. We know that we did not come to pin the tail on the donkey at this hour, but we have definitely come to pin the tail on the honkies that is responsible for the killing of our beloved brother, with no psychological evaluations, with no challenge, with no appropriate protocol. He did not go through the appropriate chain of command. And if he did, you need to fire that whole chain of command as we go to our activists. Oh, we have so much on this case. I have a stack of paperwork on this, and I'm going live with my brother in New York. Our activists, I hope they're having live at 347. I got several 347s. A New York area code 347-988. Live, a friend of the family. I think it's Brother D out of New York City. Do we have you live on 347-988?
Yes, I'm here.
Yes, sir. Go ahead, and we can go ahead and open your mic and say a few words to let them know that young Lavelle Lane is not standing alone. The family, Mrs. Beverly Lane, Mr. Reese Lane, none of them are standing alone at this time.
Well, most definitely, because I, once again, I want to say to the sister who is grieving, we definitely feel your grief, and we're here to support you. You're not in this alone. Just being able to express how you feel, you know, that's just not something that we're really known for doing. But, you know, what you're doing, expressing yourself and saying how you feel, that's, you know, helping you to better understand it. So we encourage you to continue to speak out and speak up and say, and that's what we'll continue to do. We're going to speak up about this. We're not going to let it go. We're not going to let it drag. And we're not going to just take whatever answer that they tell us. You know, we're just here to gather the information so that we can go move forward. Because right now we really have nothing but speculation, you know, bits and pieces. And it's the picture that they painted, you know. So we want an accurate picture. So we want to do our own, you know, our autopsy so that we can determine, you know, get an accurate reading on what it is that actually happened. Because everything that's coming out is based on the story that they're telling, the narrative that they're creating. So we can't go on any of that because we know that they're lying. So, you know, that might just be a way to get us to go in that direction, and we're running over there, and when they come forward with something, it's something totally different. So we'll be unprepared. So we're gearing up to fight, you know, right now. We're gearing up, we're sharpening our tools, things that we're going to use, and we're going to move forward. You know, we're going to make sure that this, you know, all the parties that's responsible for this, you know, they'll be prosecuted because they're the ones who committed the crime. And it's all covering up. You know, this is from top to bottom. If this is any other any indication that this something needs to be stepped in, I think we need to step at least and notify the FBI. Because one thing about the FBI, when you tell them something, when you make a complaint, they have to investigate it. You're not going to get any real information from North Carolina's coroner, you know, because they're all in this together. So we have to be just like them. We have to be all in this together as well.
Yes. Now, these are cases that have come across. There are two Anthony Hill cases. And Jesse James Clyburn, you know, Wooden Tooth, Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
They're always crossing now.
Yeah,
but we have heard not even a rumor
that
they have crossed the aisle to bring hate crimes investigation, hate crimes, and update the legislation.
That's based on our legislation. That's based on our legislation. The people that we elect into office, we don't hold them accountable. So when they come around and they ask for our vote, if you're saying that you're here to help us, you know what the problem is. So you should already have an accurate plan about what you're going to do once you get into office. We don't need you to investigate because that means an investigation takes about 2 years. So we're going to be put on the back burner for 2 years. We don't want to hear that. You know what the problem is. If you don't have something stating what you are going to be doing, we don't need you to point out what we're lacking. We already know that. But we want to know what actions are you going to take to make sure that whatever the things that we're lacking, whatever resources that we don't have, that we do have. And we're not holding these politicians accountable.
Camped out in Spartanburg. And Brother Tynit is online. A Spartanburg man, CJ, is live. Gaffney Spartanburg. Brother Sack is online with us. Brother T is online with us. Brother Israel is just around the corner from the crime scene, and there are multitudes of others. So we're going to bring up and let you know that the Black Panthers are not going to sleep on this at all. Let me show you who we got. We got a brother in the region. I think we got Brother Maurice and Brother John that are coming black with us. Let's see if we can drop it like a cat on 336. Go Panther style.
Oh, most definitely. I'm not trying to say that our leaders are not in there. I'm talking about our elected officials. Hold them accountable.
Absolutely.
Make them, because this is wrong on all fronts. And if you as a leader, you as a politician, if you cannot see something that is wrong here, you should have the influence to be able to push this up the line and get a lot of national attention toward this.
Sure.
Because
yes,
as a human being, white, black,
audience. Yes. I was attempting to update the audience.
that there have been two cases of Anthony Hill in that region. Both of them were killed by some form of white nationalism. We feel that all these cases are related to white nationalism, and hatred, bigotry is all connected to all of these cases. The Lavelle Lane case, the Tisha Tate case, the Anthony Hill 1 and the Anthony Hill 2. There are two men from their region, and they are not doing anywhere near or remotely close to doing their jobs to bring the hate crime, to let them know that there is a serious force behind the actions of the citizens. They are attempting to tap them on the wrist and go back to business as usual, so therefore they will be able to line you up and again set you up and do it all over again. And we're here to say, I hope there's enough people online to say together, never, never, ever again. Can you all say that with me? Never, never,
never,
ever
again.
Never, never,
never, never again.
Let's say it again. Never, never,
never,
ever,
never,
again.
Never again.
It's just like a nightmare. That's why I've been born. To give the opposition a nightmare. They never thought we would come armed against these hypocrites that are running a form of pork barrel politics down on the people in a weird form of injustice being practiced live by a wooden tooth sheriff named Chuck. What is his name? Wrong, right.
Right.
I say his name, right. But if he's wrong, wrong, wrong on all accounts, and we found him last night wrong and actually guilty of a form of malfeasance when it comes to neglecting the volition and the will of we the people. And therefore, we have found him to be guilty again of being wrong when he should have been doing right. So his name means nothing to him, and therefore his fast is becoming nothing to we the people. Nothing. There's a new sheriff in town right now by the name of Sheikh Ali Mamaka that don't mind going toe-to-toe with the opposition. When you're right, you got divine intervention in your favor. So I want to talk black to Carolina for just a minute to see where we are in Roxbury on the way black. Those brothers will be on the way black. We're here at the spot where we don't have to go anywhere. We're the ones who roped it off with caution tape and called the detention center a crime scene of the killing of Lavelle Lane. And we're on record all the way around. And we came with our God and our gun in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, as we only know that he would do it. So bring it live from Roxborough. I think we have either Maurice or John. Are we here live with LeVeau? Is that mic open for them? 336-459. Are you live? We got another.
I'm
336.
Live. This is Brother John.
You said, who's on 336? Who? Brother John?
Yeah, Brother John.
Yeah, go ahead and speak to us a little bit about Saturday's activity, I believe, coming up. Roxborough is right around the corner now.
Well,
from this spot in good old Gaffney and Spartanburg, Cherokee County, Spartanburg County, South Carolina. Well, that is the first thing. You cross the Carolina border on 85, you'll be right there live with us in Spartanburg, Gaffney. So you can talk black to us, John, about some of those issues that are occurring in Roxborough, because they executed Brooks right there in Roxborough just a few days ago in my research, because I was there live on the scene with Brooks in Roxborough, North Carolina. So bring it live, please, sir, and tell us what we plan to do.
That's one thing.
Right in Roxborough.
That's one thing.
Come on, brother.
That's one thing I wanted to bring up. Don't let it be another Brooks case where everything got quiet. With the Lavelle family, please don't let it be that. If y'all need me, I'm a phone call away, and I will come back down there. And I know I have soldiers that will come with me. But far as Saturday going, Brother Azrael, he handling all of that. I talked to him today. He going to put something together as far as the little girl being raped. I
Rutherford Azrael to speak on that, because he talked to the little girl's sister today. I'd love to have as many soldiers as I can get here in Roxborough. Hate crime is one thing, but when we do crime against ourselves, that's a big issue we got. We cannot stand by and watch each other murder, molest, or any other crime against ourselves. We cannot stand by and let that be an issue. We gotta fight. We gotta fight within our own self. We gotta start holding our own self accountable for the things that we do. We can't expect the devil to love us if we don't love ourselves. You know, really, that's all I gotta say. I'm hurt by the situation. I know the little girl. Like I said, she's 13 years old. She did not get no consent to have sex. Even if she had gay consent, the guy that raped her was 33 years old. It's just a touchy situation. The three ladies that did stay, that do stay in the apartment, they got jumped on by guys and girls because the little girl had the boy up, well, the man up. It just don't make sense to me. It don't make sense how we could traumatize ourselves and traumatize our kids and don't. I just don't have words because right now, you know, it kind of bothering me talking about it. Because, like I said, it is a little girl, and I am a father of daughters, and I couldn't just stand by and watch one of my daughters go through it. So if y'all don't mind, if Azrael on the line, can you please shed some light on the situation?
Yes, sir. As I do a drive-by, I'm stop by Maurice and then pick up Azrael. Go ahead, Brother Maurice, and tell us a little bit about what you see right there on the ground. And he has been to Spartanburg and to Gaffney on this case. Go ahead, Brother Maurice.
That's pretty much the same thing. We're here pretty much the same thing John talking about. There's a situation where whether she gave consent to have sex with the man or not, he still should have knew better. You're 33 years old. There's no way you could just be up for having sex with a cow. So he needs to be charged, and Roxborough Police Department is totally doing.
Police your mic department might have doing that. He might have pushed mute with your face.
Can
you have me repeat everything you just said? Your last sentence got blotted out. You're going to have to keep your mic
can you hear
still.
Me?
Yes, we hear you clearly. You got to keep the mic right there where it is. Go ahead.
So, yeah, pretty much everything I said, and like
yeah, I know about that Roxborough area. You're going to have to get on another mic, get on Brother John or Israel's mic, and we're going to allow Brother Israel to update us and go back to the tape film. I've got the activist, Brother Kai Nittis, out there on the front line, So you talk about people who risk their lives on the front line, then we are that people. But we don't give a damn about it. Like this opposition, this devil has no rights over your life. Your life and my life is in a divine destiny. And predestination has nothing to do with the opposition whatsoever. So we're going to bring him up live and see it. We got a list of callers, but I'm looking for him. He may escape for a minute, and I know he'll be black with us. Brother Ezra, we're right there with you and the issues in Roxborough by Saturday, you can talk black to us.
Yes, Black Power. Black Power, I'm here, brother. Yes, most definitely. At this point, we need boots on the ground in Roxborough, North Carolina, to stand with the family and to confront the individual who is responsible for a rape of a 13-year-old girl. At this point, because I'm in contact with the family, because I've seen the evidence
one thing about us, we do not move sloppily. We have to have all the evidence. We have to have all the information. And once we obtain that information and cipher through that information, we move accordingly. We have evidence, documentation of a 13-year-old girl being raped by a 33-year-old man. It was not consensual. The little girl made the predator, because that's exactly what he is, made him aware of her age, but still he decided to do what he was going to do. We have the evidence, we have the information, and the consent of the family to move on this. With all three green lights, it's definitely a go. So as of Saturday, or before Saturday, we need to come to the table to discuss this matter more. But we definitely need the support, both moral support and physical support, of everybody who is capable of putting those black boots on that concrete and coming down to Roxboro, North Carolina. As was stated before, not only did this I have no words to call him at this moment, but this rapist, I don't like it is, this rapist violate this innocent child. He also put hands on the child, also put hands on a sister, a couple of sisters, due to this. And that in itself, though it is a separate matter, those things cannot and will not be tolerated, should not be tolerated, not even a fourth thought when it comes to protecting our children, when it comes to protecting our women, when it comes to protecting the black family. These things cannot be allowed to go unseen, unheard.
Beloved, Brother Chief of Staff, are we in pursuit of a melanated or a non-melanated predator in the rape case?
As much as it hurts me to say it, my brother, it's one of our own. It's another black man, which is so sadly to say. But the thing about the even in that is the fact that the victim and the family of the victim did what they were supposed to do. They went to law enforcement. Law enforcement not doing shit. Just like in South Carolina with Brother Lavelle, and just like they're dragging their feet on Lakeisha Tate's case, they are doing absolutely nothing but lollygagging and wasting time and tax dollar money. So to answer your question, it's one of our own kind that has perpetuated this crime against this little sister, this queen.
Brother, we'll be swift in bringing justice in all of the cases. We're going in for self-government to show how we, the people, will manage these cases. So we have three hot cases in front of us, as I want you to hold that point right there. Everybody hold that point while we go out to Chicago and warm that mic up for Brother Jermaine. Brother Malik is over in 313 at 788. Walaikum salam, sir. How are you? Welcome to Black Power Radio.
Lavelle,
give us your
father.
Updates, Brother Jermaine.
This is Lavelle father, Andy Reese.
Okay, Brother. Okay, Mr. Reese. Okay, go ahead. Just before Brother Jermaine, we're going to bring Mr. Reese because he's live on the crime scene. Go ahead, Brother and Mr. Reese. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, you know, like this whole situation with my son, you know, I haven't even slept well at night, because I don't know how y'all feel about the situation, but I'm going to tell you something. When you lose a child, especially a baby, my son had a full scholarship with Howard University at track. He made Victoria in high school. He was a very educated man. And to be cut down like this, a lot of things going on around here in this South Carolina and all over this South and stuff that people are being hurt and mistreated, being abused, being used. It's like a moderation of slavery. I'm going to tell you, it's just like a moderation of slavery. We shackled, but they shackle us in our minds. It's time to stand up for something, man. It's time to show our power. These people are taking advantage of the black nation, man. It's time for us to get together and stick together. People talking about black on black crime and all this stuff. You know, they bring the guns over here. They bring the drugs over here. They want us to kill one another. But when they killed my son, I mean, they found my son dead on his knees in that prison. Like in a praying position. That hurt me to my heart. I don't like to hate nobody. But I want to know the officer that arrested my son. I want him held accountable. I want the one that was in that prison to tase my son with that taser while he was sweating, soaking wet, butt naked, knowing that electricity and water do not mix. But they won't show me the footage. This shit is hurting me, man. Sorry, y'all, for me cursing. But I'm upset right now. I'm very upset. I'm not going to say I want to hurt anybody, but I'm upset right now. Because I know we're on live. A lot of things I do want to say, but I can't say it right now. Because, you know, people transact this stuff, and then they see, you know, these things on the meter. Oh, the father said this and said that. But I'm hurting and deep inside. But I want justice to be served. I want them to be persecuted. The one that stomped him with that taser. I want them to, be accountability. I want accountability. I want it for any black man or any black woman or anybody that's going through anything that happened. Thank y'all for coming on. Salam alaikum. Wa alaikum salam to y'all. To all my brothers and sisters.
And peace be on you, my beloved comrade, brother. And nearly this whole township, people are just not aware, is being recruited in with the Black Panthers at this hour. And we're stretching no organization, no network is any better than its ability to do effective community outreach. And we're reaching out to GAP, reaching out to Spartanburg, and the numbers are coming in. And the highest form of recruitment since I've been a Panther I've seen in the last few days coming in the state of South Carolina. And this is getting stronger and stronger. We want everyone to be doing outreach at this hour. So when we come into something, we were able to manage justice with our hands. And that's real talk of a new sheriff being in town that's willing to get right down to the justice and stop the pussyfooting around. Stop tiptoeing through the goddamn tulips, and let's go straight to the justice. And this is what is justice is swift in taking its account. At this hour, for Black Power as we grow and organize. How are you going to make the black nation rise? Y'all might as well say that together. We got to agitate, educate, and organize. Say it together. How are we going to make our black nation rise? We're going to agitate, educate, and organize. Can anybody say that with me? How do we make the black nation rise? Agitate, educate, and organize. That's right. This is why we're here today, to organize and gather, to organize in Spartanburg. You ever seen organization like this since Nat Turner was rounding up the troops to break the first yokes of this African black plantation enslavement? The Sheikh Ali Imam Akbar was born to break all forms of enslavement, to give the opposition hell and a nightmare from the cradle to the goddamn grave. We're not here to pussyfoot around at all. And we're not going to play with the opposition. When we find them, we will bring to swift justice by We the People's Court. We're going to be leaving their court and establish our own court and our own justice system, because we have failed to receive justice from the current system, and the Constitution gives full and complete authority, complete accessibility for justice. We can succeed until we find a form of justice that will satisfy We the People. Now, we got all kind of 917s and 518s out there. You're going to have to punch one. I know they desire to speak. I don't want to cut anybody off. But, Brother Jermaine, your mic should be open out in – are you in Chicago or Detroit? As-salamu alaykum and Black Power.
Wa alaykum salam. As-salamu alaykum to everybody on the line tonight, Black Power.
Wa alaykum salam.
I'm currently in Michigan State.
Yes, sir.
Lansing, the capital of Michigan State.
Yes, sir. On the Detroit side? Go ahead.
Yeah, Detroit side. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. I'm not
well,
there with you.
Go you ahead. Know, aside from my overt role in being a political and social activist for the mainstream political parties, the Democrats in their quest against the Republicans, I also work in my capacity as an advocate for reparations. I want to first just say I hate to change subjects, because my heart goes out to the family of the lost, you know, of the victim down there, and hopefully we can do all that we can, and we're doing all we can to bring those officers to justice, or that situation to the forefront, so that we all can be judges and bring justice to that family. But aside from that, in my capacity as a social advocate, social justice advocate, I have been working and been a part of a reparations research over the past couple of years in an effort to.
You may have hit mute, or you've got a bad reception going, sir.
Mute was hit.
I'm
back.
Can you repeat that sentence? Go ahead.
Yes, sir. I was saying that over the past couple of years, I've been a part of a reparations research, and where we've designed a model in which we figuratively have paid 15 million African Americans $200,000 apiece. And the price tag on that would be somewhere in the $50 trillion mark. And this is not just figurative talk. Just an update. I've been talking in works with COBRA, the National Coalition for Blacks for Reparations in America, Sheikh, and other nationalists and other blacks around the country to talk about supporting the bills that's in place, the H.R. 40, the Commission to Study and Develop Reparation Proposals for African Americans Act, championed by Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee in out of Texas. So I've been in the background working diligently to make sure that this topic doesn't die in my generation, while making sure that all of us united, the Panthers, the Nation of Islam, other Afrocentric organizations, are moving towards a reunification. So our resurgence in the dawn of this reparations is where it needs to be, so we can successfully bring these much-needed resources into our community. So that's where I'm at, Sheikh. I appreciate you for always opening up the floor to me. I wish I could be there in Spartanburg right now. I can't be there in the moment, but inshallah, in the future, I will be catching up with you guys and Black Power, let's keep on fighting. I won't carry too long on the mic tonight. I appreciate the time. And keep reparations on your mind as we move forward into this new era in the country. All right, Black Power.
Black Power, Brother Jermaine Malik Muhammad, a strong brother, an advocate, and a hard worker. He's doing everything from journalism to street activism and getting all the components and pieces to the puzzle in that central unit, all out in Chicago, out in Detroit. And he's never letting off the backside of the opposition, regardless of where he is or what he's doing. He's active, bringing the Black Revolution in the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad, as he always do. And we love him so much. And he may sound a little mild-mannered, but he's certainly aggressive when you get him one-on-one. This is our brother, and we love him so much.
And be looking for us on the ballot soon.
That's right.
You're looking for us on that congressional ballot as well.
And if he's able to do it, he's a strong activist in South Carolina. And you need to partake in land acquisition while you're in Michigan and Illinois. So partake land acquisition while you're out there, Jermaine, okay? And we'll be sending you the forms and the decree and the declaration so that we can move within a mile radius of any of our land acquisitions. Anyone caught doing anything injurious to, meaning bringing injury, danger, or harm towards Black people within a mile of any of our properties, Nation of Islam, Black Panther, Black Activism property, then we can take charge of that property. All property in view, we can indefinitely detain anybody, including law enforcement. These National Guards and the police, is nothing new for us to see them breaking the law. And many of them are criminals, and they're operating for criminals that run a criminal system of injustice as opposed to a straightforward criminal justice system. It is a bunch of criminals operating a form of injustice. A peculiar brand of white nationalism is being forced down upon us, and we are going to break the chains of all forms of enslavement at this hour, and we don't give a damn about no goddamn cracker name, Uncle Sam. Not at this hour. Black Power. Black Power and a strong Black Revolution. Black Power and a strong Black military and a strong divine revolution against the opposition. Our own declaration, our own decree, and we the people government, we the people.gov is on the move. I don't even know which direction. We got so many online tonight that desire to speak, that want to speak, that haven't spoken. Anybody on the open mic can speak and say something. Let me know to come to you, or I'll move directly down the line tonight. Go right ahead. Anyone with an open mic can speak.
Okay. Hey, I just want to say something real quick. Hey, when you come in contact with law enforcement, when you come in contact with law enforcement,
this is our brother, Ty Nitty is the regional chairman in South Carolina, and he's on the ground right here with us in Spartanburg. So talk Black to us, and let's see what we got to do on the line. Bring us up, update us, because he's got so many things going on. He's a universal
man, and
a strong advocate for Black Power and Honorable Dr. Khaled Abdul-Muhammad. Thank you so much, brother.
I just want to say, you know, real quickly, these people are human beings, man. They're not invincible. Whenever you come into contact, hey, somebody mute your phone. Everybody mute your phones. Don't forget to remute your phone. When you come in contact with these individuals, get their badge number, get their name, find out something about them, get their tag number, their patrol car number, and then we're going to investigate these people to see who they is, man. Because at the end of the day, they got to go to their mailbox. They got to go to the grocery store. Their kids go to school. They go to church. You know what I'm saying? So find out who these people is. If it's an officer we're dealing with, get his name. Find out who his wife is. Find out who his kids is. You know what I'm saying? They human beings just like we human beings. So that's going to be one way we're going to start to figure these things out, man, how to hold people accountable. When you get nosy and start figuring out things about people's families, then they want to give up information, man. It might be somebody who ain't even – I wish everybody would mute their phone, please. I hear a whole lot of background noise. But even if it's somebody who ain't got nothing to do with the situation. It's funny how you can get information out of different people, though, by putting a little bit of pressure on them. Because, like I said, everybody a human being, and they got a family, and everybody want to protect their family and have prosperity. So my thing is, shit, when I was little, I had people in my family, and something happened, and they don't know who did it. Guess what they do? Oh, just we don't know who did it, just everybody line up. Everybody going to get punished. You know what I'm saying? That's how you get people to step up and start telling, pointing the finger at each other. That's how you get an investigation going a little bit quicker. So it might be an officer. He might not know nothing. But after we finish investigating and trying to figure it out, he might figure out a name or drop some kind of information that'll give a bigger clue. And that's all I'm saying, man. You come in contact with somebody, write their badge number down, get their name, find out something about them, where they from, what they like to do, you know. We can look them up the same kind of way they look us up. So what we need to do, man, everybody in your region, wherever you at, start finding out the names of some of these people in charge or some of the people that was on the scene or on a certain shift. And then we going to figure some shit out. We got to just put everybody's name in a bucket and shake it up and pull a name out. Black power.
Black power.
Black
and a strong
power.
Black revolution. Black power. Anyone can speak before we go? I got a whole list of 518s up there. All them 518s, we trying to come to you and get your issue in. And we got a good feeling on who it is. But we want to hear from the 518. So y'all stay where you are. The 718, stay where you are. Anyone on 718 or 347 that want to speak, that your lines are open, so we you're able to speak. If you unmute yourself and you're able to speak to our live audience, our worldwide audience here at Black Power Radio, and we hope that you are there comfortable and in a good place to receive and send out information. Go ahead, anybody out on those lines at 718 and 347. That's the Lane family. And we give high regards and high respect to Mr. Lane, who just spoke to us. And we know that it's a strain on him. It's a difficult time for him. No one could even remotely
think. My
yes,
husband's name, his name is Reese. His name is Andy Reese. My name is Lane. That's on my birth certificate. That's my maiden name. My married
yes,
name is Reese. My husband's name is Reese, Andy Reese. I'm Beverly Lane Reese. He's not a Lane. He's a Reese. I'm a Reese by marriage, but I was born a Lane. I just wanted to correct you on that because he said that last night. So I just want you, I mean, you don't know how we, you know, put it in perspective. His name is Andy Reese. And I'm Beverly Lane Reese. I was born a Lane, and I'm married to a Reese. And excuse
yes,
me for interrupting you. So
you told me
now.
That before, and my mistake. And I'll give you a full and complete apology for mixing up the name. And my intention is to reach out to the Reese. I say Lane, and then Reese family, because of Lavelle Lane being the victim. And the Reese family being that he is the – see, this is one thing, Mrs. Beverly, that the Congress saw us and Mr. Lane, Mr. Reese can attest to the fact that we were doing well coming out of the 60s and we were being productive, and especially in Washington, D.C. I can never forget it. You found a young man in junior high school going into high school. He had a little bricklaying. He had a little bit of electronics and some mechanics and some wood shop. He had some more cosmetology. The woman had cosmetology and home ec. And all. Who would abandon these type of trades? They saw the black man becoming the head of his household with a business in effect. He saw the black woman independent of all of this madness. And going on to start business for herself. And the Congress just hated that. The people that were visiting Washington, D.C. from around the country hated to see us being productive and independent for ourselves. So they did everything in their power to destroy the man being the head of the household. And if there's nowhere else can be found, you can see it clearly in the evidence of Joe Jackson. He trained his family to raise the greatest show on earth in his living room. And after all the stardom and all the great fame and all the great wealth going in, they said, Joseph Jackson, you can't touch the dollar. The opposition doesn't want one red cent coming that's going to free all of us. They don't want to see you go in masses to go in freedom and to honor Elijah Muhammad said, to go free for yourself. And this is all we're telling you tonight, is to use the Black Panther love so that you can go free for yourself. We're not teaching you how to survive. We're teaching you how to live. And it's up to you to accept those teachings. And you, it's not a teaching, Malcolm X said, unless you use it skillfully and effectively against your oppressors, against your opposition, against these ones that seek to enslave you. So I'm going to put on out here. And Mrs. Beverly, did you have another comment before we go to the 518?
No, I just wanted to emphasize that my husband is a Reese, and I'm married to him, so my name is Reese. But on my birth certificate is Elaine. And you could go ahead and continue. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes, ma'am. But stay right in there with us because we know you're going to have closing comments, and we're going to have to come with some resolution to go black in a time and a date, to go black to these oppressors. They said we have gone everywhere we could go within the county of Spartanburg, went to the testing center, couldn't get no answer, all down to the coroners and the medical examiners, and all around these different medical facilities, hospitals, and trying to interview people at the clerk of the court, and the assistant clerk at the court, and the DA's office, and all up and down this thing, and nobody's giving any clear answers. Nobody wants to give us the footage on the
nobody.
Give you a 911 call to the family. This is the mother and father teamed up on their own dime, using their gas tires and oil, going store to store, door to door, trying to find out information about their son. That means
the
door could potentially
out everywhere we go, they slamming the door in our face. But nothing stays in the dark. It's going to come to light. You know, we just got to have some patience. It's still fresh. I mean, tomorrow will make a week that we buried LaBelle. And, you know, it's still fresh. So, you know, we're going to push forward. I mean, I'm not a give-up person. You know, I'm not. I've never been. I'm not a give-up person. I'm a fighter. You know, I'm a black woman. And, you know, you have to stand for something before for anything. So I'm going to ride this till the wheels fall off. And, you know, I have several children. And, it's strength in numbers. And, you know, I can't emphasize that enough. You know, unification, you know, we've been separate for a long time. We've been separated for a long time. Maybe this will bring us some kind of unification and we can come together as one and be on one accord. You know, we're all on this line together. We're in one accord right now. Oh, you know, when we hang up this phone, we still have to push forward. You can't just let this be on the phone and you know, you go to sleep and tomorrow wake up and say, oh, wow, LaBelle is dead. What are we going to do now? We have to come as a collective and do something about it. Not just talk about it. You got to be about it. You can't just talk to talk. You need to walk. You know, wherever I'm asked to be, I'm there. Because I have to stand up for my son. He ain't standing no more.
That's right. That's right. And we know that whatever we have done, Mrs. Lane Reach, right? Mrs. Lane Reach. Mrs. Beverly Lane
yes,
Reach.
Sir. Yes, sir.
Whatever we have done in collective solidarity, we have been successful. We're going to be there to support you and to push the program in the way that it will be effective for you to get assets out of the Spartanburg Police Department, out of their, they got spit, slick, slack, and all those acronyms they use for another way to bow out and get these bastards off the hook. Well, we're
That's
going
right.
to hook these bastards and put them back on the hook for
That's
justice
right.
at this hour. We know what justice looks like, even though some people mistaken mercy from the court as justice.
but we recognize justice to be justice as it is. And we recognize truth to be as it is. And we can separate the facts. As you said, how many shots will it take to separate
right,
the real facts from the fake? And we have to have full and complete accountability at this hour. We demand justice in the name of our beloved brother, Lavelle Lane, and we are going to get justice. Come hell or high water, whether the creek rise or not, we're coming for justice, and we're going to be at the right place at the right time to make sure that there's justice for Lavelle Lane. And if you had no further comment, we're going to try to pick up 518 and stay right with us. And we're here talking about we and the people.gov. And we're asking the question, the pertinent cross-examination question tonight. Why must they demand the ultimate sacrifice of our daughters? Go ahead. Someone was attempting to comment. Okay. We're going to go and cruise out here to, and remember, our sons and daughters are not up for sacrifice. These taxpayer dollars give us a say. It gives us a direct input into the situations concerning managing in the black community. And we would not take no for an answer. We will hold a line for justice at this hour. As we open up the first 518-224 and 518-224, you're live on Black Power Radio.
Black Power, Black Power, Black Power.
Welcome. Welcome aboard, go ready. Give us a name, where you're calling from. State your case.
Black Power. My name is Karan Latif. That's what my mama gave me as my first and middle name. I'm calling from 196,940,000 square miles. I'm calling from Earth. I don't know who on this line. I ain't telling nobody where I'm at. So what I want to say is I want to express my condolences to the family of Lavelle, the mother and the father, and his siblings. And this is some serious business. This ain't no joke.
Thank you.
This is definitely. I want everybody to know that I'm in a familiar place to a lot of people, but to understand the pain. I've never been in the situation, which I heard Brother Lavelle's sister said she's seen stuff like this, but now it's hitting home. And I got really hurt because that's the realest shit I heard from that really made me feel like that shit hurts to actually hear his sister say she's witnessed it, but now it's coming hitting home. And I want everybody to remember this shit could be any of us. This could be my brother. This could be your father. So we can't play with this shit. This shit is delicate, and we have to really be careful about what we gonna say we gonna do. We gotta be so careful about what the hell we say. I know we wanna just say what we wanna say, but certain shit you just don't say. And we gotta know what not to say. And if you gonna say something, you best believe whatever you said, people heard you. So you got to do something other than just talk. So I want everybody to understand we are in the worst condition of this situation. I talk to the elders. The elders tell me that the 80s, the 70s, the 60s was bad. But this shit we in is a whole nother level. So we have to also take care of our elders, which is the brothers, mother, and father on the line right now. They need protection in this situation. We all need to be at our own best judgment Everybody can't be a chief. Some of us gonna have to be Native Americans. I know we all poking our chests out like we the best out, but guess what? You too divided to be serious. These crackers, these enemies are coming at us because we scattered. I'm this nigga. I'm that nigga. I'm the big nigga. I'm the little nigga. You just don't know what to do. If you under this phone call with this new Black Panther Party member, use a new Black Panther Party member, no matter what. You got your own side show. Keep your side show on the side, Playboy, Playgirl, whoever you are. So let's talk about Dr. Khaled. Dr. Khaled told us, prophesied, and let us know this shit is going to keep going on until we do something and stop playing around, which I see a lot of playing around. A lot of goof. So this is a way we have to address. We have to stop playing around. We have to stop trying to be the nigga in charge. We have to follow orders. Discipline. We have to protect each other. First things first. We should have neighborhood patrols all through North Carolina. All them guns that I'm seeing on Facebook and on Instagram, everybody down there, you need to be patrolling these neighborhoods. First thing first, 3 times a week. Y'all need to be on y'all shit. Black power.
Black power. We thank Brother Karan, National Field Marshal, for giving us that update and some strong spirit coming out of, well, he's on 196 million. As we go down to 518 at 255, we have 518, 255. You're actually live. There's some more 518. And tell us a little bit about where you are, what you're doing, your geographical, and give us your update at 518-255, Talk Black.
How you doing? My name is Casey Charles. I am a co-founder of the Black Abolitionist Directive out of upstate New York.
Yes, sir.
The Lane Reese family is my family. I just came from North Carolina, trying to figure out what's going on and how we could help. I just want to make something clear, like very clear. I'm very happy about the amount of people that are reaching out, and I truly appreciate the solidarity and everyone coming together as a people to help my family. I just implore everyone to be very consistent. It's one thing because I am an activist myself. I've seen it. I've worked with other impacted families and things like that. A lot of people make a lot of promises, as the brother before said, and everybody wants to talk and promise things. Nobody actually gets it done, which is why a lot of people lose faith in their. This is why a lot of impacted families lose a lot of faith in their people and the people around them, because a lot of people don't know what it means to actually help. They know what it means to talk and offer resources and never actually get people connected to resources or help them to get any type of help that they need. People forget that life still goes on. Outside of the traumatic things that's happening in the media and word of mouth and the community and things, people have bills, people have jobs. The Lane family quite literally lost their life savings paying for Lavelle's funeral because they did not give them a death certificate. That's something we can work on. We can work on getting them the money back there to sustain their life. We could work on helping them get connected to resources outside of it to help. We can't do anything to bring Lavelle back, but we could damn sure fight for justice. We could also help to make sure they're comfortable and have the resources that they need in order to get to where they, so their life is sustainable to get to that justice. I just want to uplift the family. I want to, of course, always send my love. Y'all, we're always connected, you know. And I want to, if any other activists or anybody, any the New Black Panther Party, any other activists that wants to help or work on this case, reach out. Reach out to me. Reach out to the family. Reach out. But make sure when you reach out, you're doing it with the best of intentions. Because one thing's for sure is our intuition is impeccable. We can figure it out. We just need people who have the best intentions fighting for liberation to come with us and uplift the story, uplift the family, and make sure justice is served. Y'all have a good night.
Thank you, beloved. And your brother Charles out of Brooklyn, I'm going to try to get your number circulated with the family and other members that are working in the Black activist community. And we have recorded your number and try to get those people in touch with you and get things active. In the next event, we can bring those from Brooklyn and the surrounding areas of Connecticut and all the way down in New Jersey, Delaware, and Philly. And if those people want to get involved in Baltimore and D.C., can come on down and organize some business to the opposition. But then again, we got land acquisition, so we got a lot of land down here. And that's what we want the people to be aware of. And we got good training grounds and stuff to help these troops get to sharpen them up. So you're certainly welcome. This is Brother Charles?
Yes, it is.
Is that right? Yes, sir. Thank you. This is Sheikh Al-Imam Akbar, National Chairman, Black Panther Party, and we're working hard on all of this stuff and getting it organized the way it should have been organized years ago. Because people, they talk about Kanye West. But Kanye wasn't smart enough to know. They said, well, that nigga's crazy. I said, no. Richard Pryor was in. That nigga was crazy, straight up. And right now, somebody's collecting his royalties. And these guys, when I visit Los Angeles, are the ones pushing the Rolls-Royce limousine, stretch Rolls-Royce limousine, claiming to have Richard Pryor, Red Fox, and all their money. Kanye West is counting his own money on his own dime. And doing what the LP wants to do and calling shots from his own perspective. And he's a grown-ass man counting his own money and getting his flowers and accolades while he's living. He's coming up with apps and new money, and he's working smart from the chair I'm sitting in. Go ahead.
I mean, West is also exploiting black people while doing that, too. I mean, we got to call it. He's smart. He's getting his money. He's also exploiting black people.
Well, I'm going to tell you, J.P. Morgan, Manhattan Chase, Manhattan, Wells Fargo, and all, he kissed all their asses goodbye. That's favorable for me. I don't agree with that Kardashian-type stuff and them gray holes, but he's still a black man. He's still my brother, and I don't have to disassociate with anybody. I don't have to distance myself from anybody for any reason. You see these crackers? When Trump, you see them distance off of Vladimir Putin? They said, Vladimir Putin, my friend. Mikhail Gorbachev, their friend. They told the Africans, that you have to distance yourself from the Russians, from Nikita Khrushchev and Mikhail Gorbachev and all these, and Fidel Castro and all that. I never backed off nobody because of suggestion from the opposition. I never felt the need to distance myself from anybody that befriended me. I've done security for all these brothers. They do some black stuff, too. So don't count them out. And when he checked Bush on one turn of the corner, he might have compromised in a couple of spots. But he comes right back and reinvents himself. You got to study this guy carefully. And he's just a brother that has some issues. Remember, his mom was gunned down and whatnot. He got issues that, you know, related to maybe some bipolarism. That don't make him fucking crazy because he had some of the issues, some health-related type issues.
He's a brother working out his own bag. James Brown said, man works better when he's working out his own bag. You copy that map? And he damn sure got his own bag. Whatever we say, however you critique it, he's working out his own bag. And I'm going to land on that, keep it rocking. But we thank you again for chiming in, and we're trying to – I got about five one eight, believe it or not, beloved. I'm just cracking the ice on 518. Give me some more 518 at 687. 518, 687, you're live on Black Power Radio. Yeah. 518, 687, you're actually live on Black Power Radio. And there's two more that I'm just trying to work through that whole – nitty, and I got some 6 months. Man, I got more New York than the Big Apple. We're going to move that, move the Big Apple to Spartanburg, South Carolina. How about that? And you can talk Black to 518-687. Go ahead and talk Black.
How y'all doing? My name is Jerrion Foster, and I'm also calling from upstate New York with Casey Charles and the Black Abolitionist Directive, but I really don't want to uplift like us at this time. I just want to uplift that, yes, while I want to talk about getting justice, I'm one that is looking for dates, looking for when are we getting together to organize, to educate, to do what the brother said. So I'm hoping that possibly after this call, that's information that I'll be able to obtain so that we can start making movement on this. Because I don't want to just be sitting here doing nothing while I know the family is grieving and while I know that we need swift justice. And so I'm just looking for whoever, you know, get in touch with us, please, because we need to get our boots on the ground, like the brother said. So that's all I wanted to say. And, again, the condolences to the family. Love y'all. Thank you.
In New York, your name again, sister?
Jerrion Foster.
Mr. Jerry, we thank you for calling into Black Power Radio tonight. Of course, you could have gone golfing, any form of tennis, badminton, backgammon, and you could have played some bidwist or tonk or some spades, but you decided to tune into Black Power Radio, and we thank you for that. We are eternally grateful that you tuned into our network. Don't make it your last time, and know that we're here for Black Power and for justice. We are giving the family of time to inhale and exhale. We are quick to move, but we don't never make our move too soon. We're going to be well organized. We make our next move in Spartanburg, South Carolina. We will be well organized when we go back black in, especially if they don't deliver. They're supposed to deliver a report. They got a investigative team that's supposed to give the mother, and we don't want to distract from the case, but we want the mother to get time to get the footage that they have promised to give her, a certain amount of footage. There are some other things being negotiated. I can't discuss all of it on the line, but we got, it's a gigantic thing. It's not anything small. A man lost his life here, so we got to be very cautious in how we manage it, and we're just going to have to pick the clues from the family and the attorney at this point. That's what we have to do. We got to get those clues. And if you have a form of activism that can be productive, we want you to get in touch with the family. We're going to make sure that you have all the numbers to be associated. They've given us the green light to organize. And that's what I say when we say, how are we going to make the black nation rise to Dr. We're going to agitate. We're going to educate. And we're going to organize. And with strong stratagems and the spirit of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and other effective freedom fighters such as Malcolm X and such as those that you've seen fighting, the Honorable Huey P. Newton, the Honorable Fred Hampton, and there are many, many others. You might want to just roll with Fannie Lou Hamer or Shirley Chisholm or some other great one. But any one of those will get you ready for revolution, as Honorable Stokely Carmichael or our beloved brother, Dr. Kwame Ture, educated us. H. Rap Brown taught me personally. Kwame Ture taught me personally. And we have those things we can stand on and go in and organize something effective to help the family. Am I right in the right ballpark now? That's Dr. and Mrs. J. Because we got some more 518 online. And we thank you for chiming in, and we're going to organize as quickly as possible. We will share your number with them. Is that okay?
Okay.
And we will keep you in the updated form. Stay tuned to Black Power Radio. Again, our comrade
Black
is not
Power.
On tonight. They usually say it at this hour. $77 Bakers keeps us online. So please give as generously as you possibly can to keep us hot. We're at $77 Bakers, and that is on the Cash App. And you can put any amount you want to put in, but put some lean green into our black machine. We're moving troops across the country. We have food, clothing, shelter, transportation, gasoline, kerosene, and whatever it takes to make this thing happen. We got two more New Yorkers pushing. And thank you again, Sister J, for being there and not being a square. Up here at 518-212. 518-212. You're live on Black Power Radio. And you can talk black.
This is Lavelle's sister, Antoinette.
How you doing, Sister Antoinette?
Yes, how are you?
Great to talk black.
So I don't really have much to say this evening. However, I do feel that productive activism is important. And it is essential that we educate our people on our rights because, and the policies of, you know, the officials, because they take advantage of their rights. They take advantage of their rights. They don't, they think that they can do what they want to do with our lives and our sons' lives and our children's lives and our brothers' lives. And their way is to alleviate us is to do it legally. They arrested my brother, and he never made it out of there. So it's important for us to assure that we continue to fight for justice for him, and I know that my mother will, my stepmother will, my father will, my sister will, and although far, and a lot of us are far apart and spread out, I know that we'll continue to push and fight from where we are, you know. But it's important that we stand together and do not let allow this to be swept under the rug. And no other situation with people going into prison and not making it out alive. There's a protocol that they're supposed to follow, and we need to assure that going forward that this doesn't happen to someone else.
So
I say that to say, you know, we. My father said at my brother's funeral, he wants no stone to go unturned. And I think that it's essential that they fight for that, that they fight to know every single detail of what happened from the time that he stepped foot over their threshold and to the time that he walked out of there. Stone will go unturned. And everyone who's responsible should be held accountable.
That he went in walking and came out. From some reports saying that he left in the body bag. That's one of the
updates.
Yes, ma'am, go ahead.
Right. So it's important that every single detail from the time he entered into that place, he stepped over their threshold, and to the time that he was carried out, that every detail is given to my parents. And it's essential that we fight for that. And that's just not for our case either. There's other cases and other situations that people are not fighting for. And we constantly sit down on things and don't say nothing. And we allow it to happen. It's like allowing them to take us out. You know, there was like 23 other situations in 72 hours. And these things keep happening. And us as a race and as a culture, we sit back and we're quiet. And, you know, I stand accused of that because until it became something that was close to home that I seen for myself with my own family, it's like I acknowledge it more because I cannot believe that my family is faced with this. So it's essential that we fight as one, that everybody steps in, whether it's happening to your family or not, it doesn't mean that it cannot happen to your family. So productive activism is from everybody, family, grandmothers, grandfathers, parents, whoever's out there who's educated, from the educated ones to the ones that are in seats in the government, we need to step up and stand out, speak out, and make sure that laws are placed. And I'm at a point where I feel like the Black Panther movement needs to be called every time a black man walks through the gates of a prison or a jail. Do we need to make that a policy where they meet them at the jail so that nothing happens to them? That's what they got to do? The officials are here to serve and protect. They did not protect my brother.
No, ma'am. They did not. One of the parts that I broke down, your uncle, a military man, he stood up at the rally.
Right.
And he said that Lavelle was very close to him, and he knew a lot about him. But one thing that he knew about Lavelle, he said he was so smart, and then he went on to say the things he was into, and he's got a scholarship and track, and but he said he was so smart. He said that about four times, and that's my weak spot. I'm a strong black activist, about my weaknesses for smart or that they don't acknowledge. They want to honor the thug life, how many times the guy's been to jail, and how many rap tunes he produced, and how many girls he got, and how many cars and houses, but they rarely acknowledge the honor student. And all of these institutions produce many honor students every semester and every graduating class, and they rarely turn the light on and say, this is our honor roll graduate. And I'm telling you straight up, every one of my children is honor roll graduate. I have now 7 children, 27 grandchildren, and all of them are honor grads and potential honor grads right there. And it just hurts me so badly to know that this man that got his scholarship in academics and sports, and he's walking down the road and he goes to your institution and he's a dead man. This is beyond any stretch of my imagination what could have taken place to take his life when he was a lover of life, a lover of people, and a lover of sports, and a lover of knowledge and academics and things of that nature, and a lover of his family, and his family loved him. It's just like the opposition does not want to see us love our family. And the scripture said that they go by that the greatest gift that we can give is love. And my theme song in Marvin Gaye says that God is the love, and love is the God, and all of these things. But they didn't show any love to our brother Lavelle Lane on the day of his murder, from my explanation. The killing right now, but we'll see what the future brings in the evidence brings. We'll have a We the People's investigation that's going on right now as well. So don't think that we are sleeping on our laurels on this thing. I live in Washington, D.C. So we're camped out at Spartanburg, South Carolina, because of the injustice been done to us. And none of those people that have been duly elected or appointed to bring justice are even remotely concerned about bringing justice, because certainly we would have, the family hasn't heard from any official on anything about their son. This is a form of injustice that will not be tolerated by We the People, and that's why we have come here today, to enforce justice and to help you settle up against all forms of enslavement at this hour. We've been divinely prepared to do this type of work. But no one could ever match us doing this. The MJ Michael Jordan can't even come out of Charlotte, North Carolina, anywhere else and tell us how to do this work. We are the MJ of this day. And we're not bragging. We're telling you that we have the master keys to go and unlock the doors of injustice and slam them on their backside. And don't never be afraid to aim straight and shoot straight, brother and sister. That's your key. It is your God and your gun. And you either arm yourself or you harm yourself at this hour. We're here for black power and for strong black revolution. But we're not going to tolerate the opposition just tell us anything and piss in your face and call it rain. We're not going to be that kind of guy to slap on one cheek and turn the other cheek. No, when you slap me on my cheek, I'm going to attempt to blow your brains out straight up. I ain't got no time. I got zero. I'm on a no-nonsense mission to establish We the Government. In no wise different than the one you call your founding father, Patrick Henry, or George Washington, Thomas Jefferson. I'm going to meet some Nat Turner, Fannie Lou Hamer, Harriet Tubman, and all the other good freedom fighters, such as the most honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad, Black Power. Let's see what we got right here. We got, believe it or not, we got some more of that. 518, I hope you're all in love with it because I got six. I got more New York. I don't even know which New York to go. But I'm going to pull down on and sister, beloved Ann Quinette, I hope I'm saying it correctly, that you have any further comment because certainly we are extending these lines to the family tonight. Sister Ann Quinette, did you have any closing comments before we go to the next call?
No, I don't have any closing remarks. I just know that my family is doing what they need to do on their end. I ask that everyone who's on the line, that even if you're not in South Carolina, that you post up on social media and that we exploit them because they need to be exploited.
Ashley?
Absolutely. I think we have unanimous support from all the black activists involved with the case, and those that are not on the case are getting involved with the case. As we, sometimes you got to toot your own horn or blow up the idea and put it on the internet. Any way you can put it out, put the word out by word of mouth, pen, social media. Let them know that, hey, we've got a killing here, and the family has not been notified. They have not been appropriately updated and given a sufficient report. There has been no psychological evaluation of any member of the family that could be potentially traumatized over the event of the killing of their brother, their son, uncle, cousin, so forth. There's not been any form of let's at least give you the 911 call so that we'll know that someone actually did call in the 911. Many times these guys wander up on us and start making up all kind of stuff. I found a place where there was no 911 call. I came up on a case where the officer right here in Washington, or in Washington when I'm there, in Washington, D.C., the officer said the kid stole his moped and said he was shooting at him to stop him. Remember, Alante Rollins, he murdered this brother. Yes, he did. He said that the man on the moped was shooting back at him. And when my brilliant attorney came up, Gregory Latimer, and said, well, sir, what you have may be some substance, but what I have here is a forensic report saying there are no powder marks. There are no evidence that this man ever shot back at you. And he sued the district governor for $100 million. Oh, I hope that sinks in at some point. Many thought he was out of his rocker. There was a judge who had his suit was destroyed by Chinese cleaners. He sued them. The judge sued them for $54 million. Within a couple of days or weeks or months, he was disbarred from being a judge. And that same week was when Gregory Latimer came up with the $100 million lawsuit. And everybody thought he was in trouble. As a matter of fact, I shook a little bit when the report came to me. But don't you know, he won his lawsuit. He got some great settlement. It may not have been a total of $100 million. But brother and sister, don't be afraid to have faith in your conviction when these bastards are guilty as hell. I haven't found any law. They keep telling me this Honest John cops are running around. I haven't run into these Honest John guys. Maybe you live in a different circle than I do, different neighborhood, different this and that. I don't know any Honest John cops. The algorithm that runs my database right now says that those guys that came out of the precinct where these officers have come out in these killings, and it runs to something like 70-some-odd percent corruption, according to the algorithm. And then those that are willing to go along with some other form of corruption. This is wickedness in power. It's no coincidence that every other story that comes out of NYPD, it's about a crooked cop. That's what the whole thing is about. A lying, corrupted cop. That's what it's about. And it's always killing somebody. And the corrupt, and the cop was corrupt. And the cop was corrupt. From Perry Mason to no mission and no Mason. There's always somebody getting killed, and there's a corrupt cop, and there's a corrupt cop. From Night Gallery, Twilight Zone, from Alfred Hitchcock to Wild Bill Hickok, Cricket Cop, Ride Irving, James, Jesse James. Jesse James will come to town and rob your ass. Next day, Frank James come to town. He's drunk. Have a shootout. Frank James kill up the guys. They turn around and make him the sheriff. And then Frank James and Jesse James go back and collaborate, and they come back and rob you for the rest of your shit. It's a strange, peculiar relationship we have around here in America. A peculiar, which you make your idols and your heroes are made up of killers and gangsters and Frank Nitti and Al Capone and all of these guys as we go on down. And pull up some 518, some more 518 with an 818. We can't help it. That's who's on the board. For 518, 818, you're live right here on Black Power Radio. The rest of y'all, 642, 646, 347. Y'all got the whole alive for the 518 tonight. There's got to be a trophy given out on Black Power Radio for the 518 Brigade. And come on and talk black to us at 518-818. Black power and a strong black revolution and a strong black military to black our call. Welcome to Black Power Radio. Assalamu alaikum and black power. We got 518. I don't know if you can grab your mute button or push up something. 518, you're live on Black Power Radio.
Hello?
Thank you. Thanks for joining us. You could have gone golfing this afternoon, but you decided to join us at Black Power Radio, so welcome. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, maybe your geographical location or something about what's going on and who you are, what you are, and tell us your name. Just don't give us your serial number and talk black to us.
Well, my name is Shaquina Charles. I'm with the Black Abolitionist Directive based out of Schenectady, but we are around the Capital Region. And, yeah, I'm just showing the family support on this call. Yeah.
We're certainly happy to receive you in the name of the family. You are a black activist group in Upper State or in the city of New York?
Upstate New York, yes.
Yes, ma'am. We give a lot of respect to Sister, we drove up from New York City and went all the way to Buffalo over those killings. It is the saddest state of affairs I've ever had the opportunity to attend. But this man came from, P. Hampton or some of Binghamton, New York, which is another 2 hours out,
mm-hmm.
another 2 or 4 hours out. I didn't even believe anything was that far from New York City and still be in New York. You've gone past Boston and you're still in New York. Yeah, they go for these things. And so I was just petrified to know we've driven for 6 hours, buddy, and we barely arrived in Buffalo. But the killing fields, there were 10 body bags. It's unbelievable what they did in Buffalo. And the young man, young white boy, 150-pound white boy, here he comes, said that he apologized. There was a woman named Rebecca that was killed. And he said that he apologized to Rebecca and her family, the white family, for killing them. But you niggas got what you deserve. And I've been petrified. And I immediately said, we're going to South Carolina to get that state for our people. We're not going to stop doing the drive-bys on each other. We're not going to stop the opposition, the cracker police, or any of those the cracker-minded police that kill us. Brown and the black are doing the same thing to us. We don't live in an exaggerated balloon deep beneath the Blue Lagoon. We live right in the community with you, and we see what you do. We know what you do. And our conclusion is self-government, a state of our own. Look what the Mormons did. Study this, brothers and sisters. They had a battle out in the state of Illinois. They killed the prophet Joseph Smith from the Latter-day Saints, from the Mormons. And Brigham Young took his tribe, and he said, well, I'm going to get up out of here. I'm going to roll up into Missouri. And they got some races, took up them some slaves, man. Huh? Took them some slaves and went on out and conquered the territory out in Utah, took it from the so-called Mexicans or the Latinos or the Hispanics. There's about 10 Latino names. And they took it from them who were settled in Utah. They said it was going to be Mormon town from now on. This will be known as the Mormon land. And they built the most elaborate Salt Palace Cathedral built by slaves. So you understand, crops and things harvested by slaves to make the Mormons wealthy. Come on. And they can rough off the state of Utah and nobody buck. How in the hell are you going to buck on we the people when it's whose street? Our street. Whose land? This is our goddamn land anyhow. By anyone's stretch of imagination, we cannot be outside of the box. We cannot be pulling the goddamn race card. We're dealing the cards straight out of the deck. We're not giving you anything foreign to justice. It's just you're not used to black men and women standing up with knowing more about government than you, managing better than you. And you look to us to see salvation today because you would fumble and stumble. All of them flipped and flopped. Old wooden tooth Lindsey Graham from the state of South Carolina flipped and flopped on the insurrection. Ted Cruz of Texas flipped and flopped on the insurrection. Mitch McConnell, some call him Bitch McConnell out of Kentucky. All of these are minority whips with power in legislation, power in ways and means, et cetera. Wooden tooth Jesse James Clyburn of the Congressional Black Caucus never said one syllable on a hate crime has been done here. Never even crossed the aisle to get a drink of water for a brother such as Lavelle Lane. So we don't tell us how to run the revolution, get over here and start moving. You can best of all in line and hope you can take some orders and carry them out. For the revolution, got to stay ready for the revolution, according to the teachings of Honorable Stokely Carmichael. Our beloved brother, Dr. Kwame Ture, taught us how to do these things. And now we go to school and say we're going to be effective outreach workers and recruit as many as we possibly can and get them armed and ready for the revolution. You either arm yourself or you harm yourself. It's a revolution at the South for black power. So I hope, beloved sister, that we'll be able to reach back with or take your number and try to associate that with other activists, other people working on the Lane case. And the parents and the cousins, the nephews, the brothers, the sisters of the family, to try to get them some real help on the ground. Is that right? Are you still there with us? Give your name again, beloved, at 518-818. Okay. Hope you're still there.
Hello,
are you there, 518-818?
Hello? Yes.
Yes, ma'am? Now, are we able to share your number?
My pronouns are they, them. My pronouns are they, them.
I may be not. I'm not in my cubicle, and I don't have my headphone on. I know you're saying something, but I say, is it okay to give the family your number? Go ahead.
Yes, you can give me my number, but also my pronouns are they, them.
You gave a little something right behind your number. You said something, sister, and I didn't have my headphones on, so when I took my ear away, you say again that you say it's okay with the family to kind of reference you and talk with you and organize with you, and you said something else, but I didn't quite make it out.
Okay, I said I have the family's number, and my pronouns are they, them.
They, them. That's the name of your network organization?
No. When you refer to me as sister or anything, I don't identify with those. So it's just like they, them.
You go ahead and explain that to the vast majority because I have no idea at all how to respond to what you're saying because I don't know exactly what you mean. So maybe you explain that to the audience. You say you have a they, a them, she and her, and these and those. All the pronouns, mm-hmm. adjectives, adverbs, and all, you have an mm-hmm. option to explain it here on Black Power Radio. You can talk how you like and explain with yourself clearly so everybody knows how to work with your network, okay?
Okay. Well, hi. My name is Shaquina again. I am non-binary, and my pronouns are they, them. So when or you can just call me by my name. Hello.
That's your complete, full and complete summation.
Okay. So what she's saying is that she doesn't mind you sharing her information.
This is Black Talk Radio, and so we are used to a lot of syllables flowing out. And when you shoot short, I don't know if you went over the audience here, but believe me, honestly, you almost did a drive-by with me. I really didn't even pick it up completely on the second row. That them and they. I'm not trying to talk out of your name. Out of 5, 6, and 7 days in a row of activism and building down here and farming down here, I may be a little bit tired, out of my element. I'm attempting to do the best I can to host the show. And if I call you these, those, and we and were, it just charge it to my heart and not my head for clearer thinking. I'm in the 4-H Club. I do my hands to greater service, my heart to a greater loyalty, right, and pledge my health to a greater commitment to help those that need to get food, clothing, shelter, and transportation. I'm an organic farmer, a trainer in urban guerrilla warfare. I do a lot of different things. I do asphalt and concrete. I build communities. I build roads and streets. I do a lot of serious stuff. So sometimes you may drive by me. Sometimes I may drive by you. But as long as we stay in the revolution, we could be never a permanent friend and never a permanent enemy. But if we have one permanent interest, is we the people and the cause and the fight for revolution will always be on the same page. We'll shake it up, shake, rattle, and roll, and we'll always come out right side up. If you start out right, you will end up right. If you start out lopsided, you will continue to be lopsided. And what you do here, you do it every goddamn way. So what we're doing now is for revolution and organizing with the family, and we're happy to have you on board with us. Thank you so much for calling Black Power Radio, because we are the most informative radio talk show anywhere on the Android, Paranoid, smartphone, dumb phone, on your micro screen, on your laptop, no-top, backdrop, desktop, wherever you want to tune in. We have the most information you ever gain from listening to radio. We'll guarantee that to you at this hour for Black Power and a strong Black Revolution. And whatever we know, that revolution is the only goddamn solution. As we, we go out and reach out to anybody that we haven't seen, please press 1. And that's the thing we ask you to do, especially when you come on Black Power Radio. Press 1 to go to the top of the queue. Anybody that we missed, we did not diss. We're going to go back to our chief of staff to get his final word. And we got just a couple more, and we still got those on live. We got Mrs. Beverly. I know is still here with us. And there's so many others, and we can chime in where you choose. I can go mic by mic, because brick by brick, because we built it, brick by brick. So here we are. All right. Let's see. Mrs. Beverly, did you have any additional and closing remarks for us?
Well,
you're still there. Go ahead.
We just got to continue the fight. Basically, that's the conclusion. And the strength in numbers, I can't emphasize that enough. You know, just me standing there and you know, I know my husband would be there, and, you know, I have several children. But, I mean, the activists, you know, we need to come together as one, set a date, and go forth out to the highways and byways. You know, we like I said earlier, you know, you got to walk the walk, not just talk the talk. You know, I mean, I know we all in different states. We have different things that we do. People work. People go to school. I mean, some kind of way we got to come together in one circle. In one room, under one roof, some kind of way. And that's about it for me, because, I mean, I'm going to continue to go to Swedenborg jail. I'm going to continue to contact Fred every day. I'm going to continue to call the coroner every day until he gives me a date where I can come down and sit at the table and look at a film of my son when he came in there, when he was in the jail, when he was in behind the bars, and when they put him in the body bag. I want to see all of it from the beginning to the end. And that's just about all I have to say. Just keep us unified. We've been separated for long enough. And you know, his death is, I'm not going to let it go in vain. It might open up doors for the next, because trust and believe, it will be a next. The police are dirty. They don't care about us. They don't care about us. They really don't.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Beverly.
Yes.
There are indicators that, and I've been into several cases, that the coroner is in on these cover-ups. They're linked together, and so they fight as a team. They're a network of corruption that work their forces on we the people, and we have to be totally resistant to all of the temptations and appeals for the. They want you to calm down. They want you to sit down. They want you to do these things. And they can slide the enemy and the culprit off the hook. Study these stratagems, and we'll just make you prepared to manage against the opposition as we team up, and we will go into a huddle, and we'll come out with a date that we'll all be right here in Spartanburg to check them in the midst of their iniquities and say, we will not allow, we're not going to tolerate you. And right now we're going to put in new forms of government. We're not going to use that yours has exhausted in usefulness, and we're putting new government in place because we don't give a damn about no cracker name, Uncle Sam. We're standing on our land. We're not barred the land. We've got great business to do all over this state and many other states. And we are self-government, and we do a much better job, not bragging, facking, and macking. We do a much, much better job than the opposition. Just you, the people, have to get used to it. You have to get social orientation. And we, the people, government. And stop depending on them. Thinking, having high expectations. They're going to deliver you a voters' rights package or some type of Supreme Court justice package or U.S. Army package or some other package that's nothing but another barrel of pork in the game of pork barrel politics. They'll give you barrel after barrel, as much as you can stand. Marvin Gaye said, how much can you command and how much can you stand? Or we have to do something to build a new man and a new woman in the traditional transformation of ourselves to make ourselves whole and worthy of competition for the circumstances of crucial hour of a pivotal point in our history, let's say. And I'll land there and ask Mr. Ty to chime in. Our regional chairman right here on the ground in Spartanburg, our beloved Brother Ty, is right here. And I hope he's still online with us. Brother Ty, you have any comments on what's going on and how we're going to further organize here in South Carolina?
I want to say this right here. Let's continue to educate ourselves and speak in foreign languages, educate ourselves from any angle, man. Somebody might want to major in English. Somebody might do mathematics, science. Like you say, they got a whole network of people working together. We got to learn how to take these positions. Let's just say we did have our own form of government. Who's going to be qualified to run this position, that position, this position? Like somebody said earlier, man, we got a lot of people want to be rappers, and we got a lot of people want to do this and be an athlete. We got to spread out into some different areas of education. You get what I'm saying, though? And I'm going to tell you, man, I went downtown Greenville, about 30 miles from Spartanburg yesterday, and I'm going to tell you something that I noticed, and I notice this every day, and I always speak on it. The way we interact with one another, it really hurts me. I'm going to tell you something. The devils, And this is going back to something that my man had said earlier. We need to start patrolling the area with guns. I don't really believe in that. I'm going to tell you why. If us blacks started patrolling the area with guns, we'd end up shooting more of our own people than we'd shoot of the enemy. I'm going to tell you why. They know how to put on a fake smile, and they know how to lie and deceive in different kind of ways psychologically, to where they're going to try to pretend to be your friend or pose themselves as no threat and smile in your face, even give you gifts, like you say, that pork rolled up at the same time as killing you, but they're giving you the gift and everything like that. So I'm just saying that because, see, like, let's say, for example, yesterday I was downtown Greenville. That's 30 miles from Spartanburg. It's a fall festival. They call it Fall for Greenville. They got vendors set up. They sell food. You can walk down the street, drink beer. Okay, I was interacting with my own people just like I interact with anybody. Hey, how y'all doing? Hey, it's a beautiful day today. Guess what I got from the black people? Snarls. They snurring their nose up. Don't want to speak. They frowning at you. Hey, white folks, hey, how you doing? And being friendly to one another. Hey, be aware of misplaced hate. You know what I'm saying? Because I think that's what it is. A lot of times when we kill one another, they don't really challenge us up front. They challenge us in a backstabbing type of way, a political way, a financial type of a way, a psychological type of way. They don't really approach us and throw their hands up because they're weak. Anything they do, any sport, we always conquer them in those sports. We can become a better shooter or whatever like that. So they're not going to up front challenge us. See what I'm saying? So it ain't no need to patrol the streets with guns. Your guns got to be your brain. You understand what I'm saying? Educate yourself and try to get the young people to educate themselves in different kind of ways instead of just one or two things, rapping or athletes or, you know, just, it don't matter if they want to be a fireman. We need firemen in our community. You get what I'm saying? But just smile at one another, uplift one another daily, learn how to treat one another. You know what I'm saying? And that's how we're going to beat them psychologically, man, because like I said, you know, we hurting each other. We killing each other, man, by just the way we treat each other. Black power.
Black power and a strong black military, the black does call. I'm just trying to pick up people on here and see. Yeah. Ooh. While I'm cruising, anybody else on the phone of 718 before we get a redirect at the 518, the 347 and the 646. Wow. There's a lot of y'all in that. I ain't gonna lie to you. But I got a 646 that's new. Let me get new fresh bread to the table. Some fresh bread, Brother Chairman, right here at 646 at 300. At 646 300. Only you know you. You're live right here on Black Power Radio. Okay, you're going to talk black to us at 646 number 300. 646-300 at 89. You're live on Black Power Radio. Can you imagine who that is? Oh, you might be opposition. Sometimes the opposition will slide up on the line, you know, and start spying with their radio. Well, that's why you be careful what you say and do around here, because, I mean, those folks, I was hoping they would tick off at 864. Again, 864-300, you're live on Black Power Radio. You just can't occupy
Hi,
our space.
Hi, that's me.
Oh. Hi, that be you? Talk about yourself.
I'm sorry. I did not hear you guys. My name is Ayana. I'm the niece of Lavelle Maine.
We're happy to have you on board. Tell us a little bit about what's going on in your world or your nick of the woods. You are a person that's known with around the family. How did you perchance come by us tonight? You love it?
I'm the niece of Lavelle Maine. I can't really speak right now. I'm in the street, so I don't know if y'all be able to hear me.
You're loud and clear.
Okay. Oh, okay. I really don't really have much to say. I just came in to listen. And like everybody in my family has said before, we just want answers. And that's pretty much it. Like, my uncle didn't deserve this. I just really don't have nothing to say because you never think it will happen to you until it actually happens.
Yes, ma'am. And I do believe I know who I'm talking to. And yes, ma'am, we feel you and the high sensitivity from all the family members. And I got to meet and greet most of the family members. And I'm sad. I'm really shook that a young man will be on the side of the road and within 5 hours be dead. I just can't wrap my brain around this happening to a young man that has he's so full of life. I mean we all got issues, I mean, for real. So I just didn't see anything that would rise to the level of being dead at the detention center. I just don't see it, and it's questionable as to whether or not he should have ever entered the detention center, ever been placed under arrest, with everybody and their mama at this point knew that our brother Lavelle Lane, the system knew who he was in Spartanburg. And there was never a reason to be aggressive with him. The only service the detention center or the sheriff's department, the police department could have rendered for him was to have him relax and sit down and wait for a health professional to come in and manage the situation. Here's this great officer with all those S on the chest and the cape on your backside, and you mismanage 100% of the time because you're way out of line, you're criminal neglect, you're out of your profession. This, oh, my. I'll just
did
try
even
to get
a phone
the rest
call?
Of there has been no real, I mean, the family knew he was there. And there was a time the family knew he was alive there. But to accelerate from being there to being dead is just quite a stretch for my mind to wrap around at this hour. No justice, no peace. For real. We will not lay down. We will not allow the opposition off the hook for the life of Lavelle Lane. It's impossible for me to listen. Mr. Reese can't rest. I can't rest. Go ahead. The defense
I hope
does
they listen
not rest.
Like, hello.
Yes, go ahead.
This is Roxanne. Someone just asked, did he get a phone call or were we even aware he was there? No, we were not aware he was there. The only reason why we knew he was there, because the coroner came and knocked on the door and said he was dead.
Wow. They didn't even acknowledge the fact that he was there. We take it for granted because
he could have notified his people
at some point saying that somehow she knew he was in the station, or someone knew he was in the station. He had been taken in. Was there any contact? Well, we're going to have to verify that for you, Mrs. Beverly. Are you still with us?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead. Give us a little background info on either when you learned or was there any information, did we ever find out that he was inside the detention center?
No, the only time that we found out that he was there, coroner came and said, your son was in custody at Spartanburg Detention Jail, and I have to inform you that he is deceased. That's how we knew he was even in the jail, because the last, I guess you could say timeline we knew of Lavelle, he was in Midway, the facility that he was supposed to be staying in to seek to get the care that he needed for his mental health issues, and they sent him to the hospital because he told them that he wasn't feeling well. So he went to the hospital that Friday. That Saturday. He went to the hospital because something was wrong with his toe or whatever. I think he had like a nail. He stepped on a nail or something. Something was wrong with his toe because we went to Midway today and got that paperwork from him going to the hospital, and it does say something about his toe. So he called my mother that Saturday and told her that he didn't want to stay in the hospital because he wasn't going to get the care that he need. And my mother explained to him that he needed to stay in the hospital because he asked to go there or whatever the case was. So now here we go, Sunday, which is the 2nd, he called her from a hotel to Hampton Inn that's in the vicinity of where he ended up getting locked up for being in the roadway. He called her from there several times, and they had a talk, and he was telling her that he didn't want to go back to the place. He wanted to come home to Gaffney or whatever, and she told him she sent from him from New York so that he can go to Midway to get the help that he needed because he wasn't getting it in New York, and she told him to go back to the place. So at some point,
Is Midway located? Where is your Midway located?
Midway is in right outside of it's in Moore, right outside of Spartanburg.
Is it in Spartanburg County or Cherokee County?
It's Spartanburg County. Cherokee County is in Gaffney.
All right. Thank you.
Yes. He left that hotel, and the hotel is about 15 minutes, like a 15-minute walk from that intersection that they said that he was in or whatever. And from the time she spoke to him from the hotel, her last knowledge of him was being at the hotel. And then that morning, which would have been the 3rd, they knocked on the door and said, well, your son was in custody at Spartanburg Detention Center, and I'm sorry to tell you he's deceased. That's how that works.
Certainly a sad story to tell the captain, I'm just, like Mr. Reese in this case, just more sad and more heartbroken as the facts come in. Just a little broken. And much like it was in when I went to Charleston, Senator Clemente Piccolini right around the corner, and 9 to 10 parishioners were there in prayer. And again, the 150-pound white boy has killed everybody. He's killed too many people. They aim and shoot, beloved brother and sister, at our brightest and our best. And thus far, they have never failed to hit the target. They're out to set us up, to take what we have, and to come back and kill us. And if we don't arm ourselves, we harm ourselves, according to the teachings of the Honorable Huey P. Newton. I take those things to heart, brother and sister. And I will just give you a light warning, because we're anywhere around the opposition, I am explaining to you clearly, I do not feel safe. I'm here to safeguard and protect, but I get an itchy feeling when I'm in the midst of the opposition. They are so goddamn unpredictable because they go rabbit hunt, deer hunt, goddamn boar hog. No animal is safe. The ram, the sheep. I watch these crackers in the woods shoot the head off of a mole, that's just a mole in the ground, step his head up. Groundhog sticks his head up. He shoots the head off the groundhog. The seagull in the sand, he plucks the head off the seagull. He wanted to improve his marksmanship. Buries the seagull in the sand. The seagull is supposed to clean the seashore. Mild animal not looking for any trouble. He takes his rifle and plucks the head off of the seagull. His bloodthirsty, unrelenting ambition to kill anything, anytime, anywhere. On into deer hunting, coon hunting, just name the hunt. I've been in the woods with these
no good bastards. And I'm telling you from hand experience, and nobody informed me of anything that I'm telling you about tonight. But I'm just hoping that you catch on, that you will protect yourself against the opposition, and you will position yourself with we the people to always be on the alert and ever watchful. And they transform at dusk, dark, I'm telling you, things that I know that you might not know. Don't take for granted your relationship with the opposition. They should believe you should be sacrificed first, and especially young black women should be put to some form of black or some form of, excuse me, blood sacrifice. They believe in these things. They do it on college campuses, bonfires, and blood sacrifice. And if you don't believe me, you go in Greenwich Village in New York, and you see a bunch of these vampires. I'm just surprised they're not flying around physically. But they all flew the goddamn from 6th Avenue to America, got you damn right, all over Manhattan. So, brothers and sisters, protect yourself. Cover down on your brothers and sisters. You may not like him. You may not like her. But do what you can to put protection on him or her to make sure they're safeguarded, that you make it home safely some kind of way. Make contact with your brother and sister. There's a big alarm system in my camp. Danger, danger, Will Smith. There's a thing called Lost in Space. The robot, the AI, the artificial intelligence is running around saying, danger, danger, Will Smith. Well, you better tell your brother and sister, danger, danger. Use your real intelligence to get you stuck on artificial intelligence while they use their real intelligence to set you up, to rip you off and give you monkeypox with no socks and all those other things swarming around in your jocks, from syphilis to gonorrhea, from this type of lice to no loss. Just anything they could sneak up on you and drop it like it's hot. But I thank you, brother and sister, tonight for joining us here at Black Power Radio. That you could not have been in a better consumption of your time by any means necessary. We must end this relationship with the opposition. For prolonged relationships with the opposition will take you from your divine position. Too much of Mediterraneanism will absolutely kill you in your spiritual body, etc. And I found you. There we are. Two more 6-4s and two more 8-6-4s. Now we are a 6-4-6 at 5:10. You're actually live on Black Power Radio.
Oh, good night, everybody. This is Raquel. Hope everyone is well.
Yes. Hey, how are you? Well, you calling from New York City or another place? Where?
Yeah, I'm calling from New York. Lavelle is my brother, and you met me down there. I'm the one that's always say thank you for having a platform for everyone to come together and try to organize. I think that what you do is great, because down there, my mom and Andy, they do need help with organizing, they have never been in a predicament where they had to organize, so it's great that you lend your organization, and a lot of people come out, and a lot of people are supporting. And I think it's just great. And then if people could, like you said, donate, because things will be needed, like if someone wants to travel down to protest or, lend a hand, everything is needed at this time.
Thank you, Raquel. It's very heartfelt, and we again extend the most heartfelt condolences to you and to your family. And we hope that Lavelle Lane will be received by the almighty divine power of the world in the very highest level of the heavens as possible, a place we call Jannah. But that place is a great place, and the opposition can't felt.
And one more thing, what's the GoFundMe? Because what I can do is, all the people that I know, I can just let everybody know, please, send a GoFundMe to, help with the plight. It's not even just about Lavelle, it's just about justice in all. I know the call,
you know, is about him. But also I would like to say, you know, my prayer is up for the 13-year-old young lady that was raped, and y'all are now, like, helping her family. So what I'm saying is that you all are on the you all are out there helping families, and that's great. And I just, you know, it's just saddened that, you know, that happened to her. So, you know, her family is in my prayers, too, and the young lady, because that's very horrible what she had to go through.
Yes, ma'am. But again, this, the compassion of your family, and you're an example of it, that while dealing with your own circumstances of bereavement, that you have enough compassion to reach out to others, and that's a great thing. That's a great thing. It's an honorary station for the whole Reese Lane network. It's just a great. I've never felt a more powerful yield of sympathy and gathering the right energy to give the right help at the right time, and to do the right thing that is necessary at this hour to bring justice for Lavelle Lane is the proper thing to do. That there's nobody on this earth that can come in and tell us that we should not get justice in a full and due measure. And this person that is guilty of this should be prosecuted and managed with the very fullest extent of the law. Our intention is to expose the source of whatever has killed our brother, and those people, hold those people responsible, because I'm leaning hard on the button that says that he should have never entered that detention center. There was no logical reason for him to enter the detention center. There's nothing that could have been brought about. They didn't have the skill level to manage a person with a health crisis. They just did not have that training. I know these rogue officers. They just roughed off hillbillies, Huckabuck, Joe Buck, Gober, and Bonnie Fife, and those kind of guys. They have no real skill level to manage. They're not even fit to serve in the black community. I'm just telling you straight up. So we got to look at these things as we manage and examine the facts as they are, and not exaggerated as we want them to be.
Life power.
Faster. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go right. Yes, someone was speaking. Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, I was just going to. Yeah, I was just going to tell everybody thank you for the support, and, like, for the Cash App, for, like, helping every, you know, helping with your cause and stuff like that. One thing my sister said, that they could do hashtag Justice for Lavelle, or they could I can't read the other part, but yes, just that other Cash App that you said earlier, because everything helps, because the fight is not free. I'm not trying to solicit anything, but I do think that you have done great work, and you know, you travel, and everyone's traveling, everyone's trying to, like, support. So I think that would be a great thing for people to do. I know that the caller amount, you know, amount of people that was on the call have went down, but what I'm going to do is, like, the people that I know got off, I'll just still send them that information, like, once I get off the phone. And I just want to thank everybody for the support, and especially you, Brother Akbar. I mean, I know I said it a few times, but I really do think that you've been helping out, like, when you came to the funeral, you came to the wake, you did the protest, you're getting the word out. People are knowing what's going on, and it's great, because, like they said earlier, it can't be forgotten about. If it's forgotten about, it's not like it's forgotten about Lavelle. It's about all these other people. It's about the lady with the 9 children that was killed. It's about the other guy that was tasered in the jail that, no, you know, there's no answer. So it's a whole bunch of bunch of injustices that's occurring. That it's just sad to me that all these injustices are occurring, you know, and it's just, like, just ridiculous that my brother
just walking, mind his business. Someone had to call the police and say he's walking in the street. You should be able to walk in the street. But more importantly, how you go from walking in the street, summons, to going to jail and then you die. That's what's behooving me. And that's why, like the grieving part for, like, all of my siblings and his parents is very hard, because there is no answer for that, because it just doesn't make sense that, you know, the way things occurred. And then more importantly, with his mental illness, it was not managed properly, because there's no way that he should have just been let to be in his own, on his own, you know, given what was going on. I mean, maybe I don't know much about, like, how that facility works, but I just do feel that if it was in the need of him needing help, he shouldn't have been by himself. And then luckily that they have their lawyers and whoever else looking into that. But just from a standpoint, from my standpoint, like, if ever I could help with, like, however I can help, just let me know, Brother Akbar. I know I'm in New York, and I'm not down here. So, like, my sister, she's there. She's helping my mom. Well, I have two sisters there, Andrea and Roxanne, so they're helping. And then, what we can do up here in New York, like, is me and my brother Elijah, my other sister Lily and such. Then we have, Aunt Cornette, she's in California. But that doesn't mean that we still cannot all organize and help you and help the fight.
Black Power, allow me to give you those cash apps. So the cash apps are $77Bakers. That's BAKERS. Again, that is $77Bakers, BAKERS. The other cash app is $AILE, as in egg, B as in boy, EAU. Again, $AILE, B as in boy, E as in egg, AU. Helps the revolution.
All the money coming in the next 2 weeks will be going to the Tate and to the Lane families to help them to get through. It's a very difficult time, and for everybody, we do asphalt and concrete here, and then donations that come directly to it, etc. But these donations we're going to be giving over to the Tate and the Lane families that just not looking for no trouble, just regular people that someone just decided to come by and kill a major family member. It just takes all from me to hear about these things, and I have to go to every crime scene I can get to say, man, what actually happened. And the family of Emmett Till, I interviewed them on the same station. They're saying that nothing has changed from Emmett Till until this hour. It's the same soup warmed over. The white nationalist, white racist bigot tries to set you up. And he doesn't get it completely. He's done. That's why he got exposed. But he wants to get off the hook for it. He wants to kill you. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, he wants to beat and kill you, and this is all that he wants to do. You've got to get familiar with the opposition enough to know that is a fact, especially at this time. Go ahead. I've got two more callers, but go ahead. You were saying something.
This is LaBelle's mother. I also, the black abolitionists, they came all the way from Albany, New York this weekend to stand with me and for me. They created a GoFundMe page. Are you there still, Charles?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Can you tell them
You can find the GoFundMe by searching my mother's name, Beverly Lane, or by searching by hashtag Justice for LaVelle Lane. That's how you can find the GoFundMe.
Well, my daughter spoke for me because this is new to me.
The Charles is sincere, and they got a great group there to help our people. And this is what we need, brother and sister. People just willing to give up. You've got your mortgage paid, or your something has been done great in your house, food. Just give a little something to help somebody else. You've got an abundance. And if you look around the world conditions, we'll find that we always have something we can give. And we have a free breakfast program right here in D.C. and the free clothing. As much as we can give away and get to our people for free, we just give it. You say, well, you are feeding the homeless. No, no, we're not feeding the homeless. We're feeding anybody that's hungry that would like to have a meal. We're getting up. We're not going to put our people in that position. That don't mean he's homeless because he wants a meal. We give him decent organic food, halal, good, clean food, vegetables and meat that I eat. I eat from the same meal. So I just want you to know, when Howard University went down and they went under a strike, they had mold and mildew everywhere. The Black Panther Party was able to go and pitch tents. We were the only ones that were job ready out there. Pitch the tent. Give them sleeping bags. Give them a three-course meal every day during the protest. It blew their minds. Do you know all of these great names? Felicia Rashad, the best that ever acted out of anything, especially the Cosbys, and but 10 more revelations. She's got more movies probably than anybody in Hollywood. Deborah Allen, the best that ever did a dance step. P. Diddy, Puff Diddy Combs. These are all graduates of Howard University. Kamala Harris, the Vice President of the United States. All of these great names.
My son, LaVell Lane, also a Howard University 100% athletic scholarship awarded to him to Howard University in Washington, D.C. LaVell Lane also attended Howard University.
And
I just have to
very
know that
smart,
is.
Brilliant, very smart. His uncle says he's very smart. That touched my heart more than anything that's been said concerning LaVell Lane. That he was very smart. He was brilliant. And given all circumstances, it's outstanding. It's astonishing. He made great achievements, but did not get the flowers and this stuff that Kanye West and them are celebrating it. He's probably more brilliant than all of those guys, Jay-Z and Kanye put together, but it just did not give him accolades. All his greatness was in brilliance, and they don't pass out awards in the street for being smart, or academically or scholastically, scholarly-type smarts. They really, really did contribute. In grade school, they tell you, you speak too proper. You think you're smart, don't you? Don't say things to intimidate the smart guys. I would catch them. I would catch the bullies and beat them up sometime. Because, I don't know, I always work for the underdog. It's just something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed me with. Be able to fight for the underdog and get skilled in fighting. In the physical fight, spiritual, intellectual, social, political fight. I'm here to fight all the way from the cradle to the grave. Because we, the people, deserve the right to walk the street, as Mrs. Beverly's telling you. He deserves the right to walk any street in America free from harm from the system.
That's right.
Yes.
That's all
absolutely.
He was doing. He was walking in the street. That's all he was doing, to my knowledge, because I still haven't seen any paperwork, any footage. But that's hearsay. Put down the footwork, the footprint, the blueprint. That's what was told to me, that he was walking in the road and he was picked up and take him to the detention center. I mean, I didn't know it was against the law to walk in the street. Now, I mean, that's something new. That's one for the books. But this boy here, like I said, he had a 100% full scholarship to Howard University for crack. If that one police officer, he wanted to get away from him, he would have. He would have. He wouldn't have been able to catch him because he was a runner. He was a runner. That we all have talent. God bless him, talent to run. That's what he did. And he was sent to school for that. That prestigious college, Howard University. And his dreams was cut short. I mean, everything that he put out to accomplish, I mean, oh, it's all non-support because they eliminated my son. They just eliminated him off the face of the earth. And I still, as I'm speaking at this second, at this hour, at 10:57, I still don't know why.
If you don't have any answers, draw your own conclusion.
Please be careful, Mrs. Beverly. And these guys are very, very slick in this move right here. To bait and lure you out, lure you into confrontation, and lure him into. See, they're setting him up to blame the victim. So they're clever in saying and doing these things. That he's got no formal charges. He's got no real record of any sort, and so they will try to set him up, lure him out, lure him into bait, stick and move, and say he was being aggressive. He disobeyed a direct order. He wop-wopped, woo-woo-woo-woo. They're real slick with that. So I'm like your uncle now to come from the military. Keep a watchful, wise eye on how they bring these words to you on what they say actually happened. Okay? Be wise
I will.
Taking apart their story is many times set up to lure him into something and make it look like he was there. Right here. They'll give you some old weird charge that they were the aggressors to set that up. They know how to exaggerate circumstances and say he broke the law by disobeying a direct order. Some crazy stuff they do. But again,
and more importantly, he's
going to get him in.
Yeah, and more importantly, he's dead, so we can't really know what actually happened. So my whole thing is we're listening to, like, hearsay, like she said. He is not here to talk. They're not even giving no information about what happened. So that's why a lot of things that's been said is not, like, we don't even know it's true. We're just trying to find a timeline and trying to figure out what happened. So we're just piecing things together. But it's totally unfair not to know what happened. This is ridiculous.
Absolutely. And we just are on standby to support the family in whatever moves they want to make. I have one last guy. I mean, this is the main man. Our National Minister of Defense is online and been there for a while. And his name is Black Lightning. He's right here in the D.C. region. And he's an awesome man with it. And he's had a muzzle on his mouth. He's been muted all night. And so we got to let him say something. And we're thankful, Black Lightning, that you're here. You're one of the most awesome men in self-defense, weapons, et cetera. And we're happy to have him on board. Welcome to Black Power Radio, Brother Black Lightning.
Black Power. Hey, I'm just sitting there
Black
listening
Power,
and taking it all in. And, we have some duties to do in New York. We can meet up with the sister in New York as well, because we do have a lot of stuff going on in Queens, Brooklyn, and Manhattan, we call it Harlem, definitely Harlem. So we get down there, we can link up with the sister down there, so we can bring justice all across the United Snakes of America, for real. You know, we need to take these cases and and get justice in the in those halls of in those halls of justice. Salute out to my comrades out there and all the listening audience and Chief of Staff Brother Azrael on the line with us and our Minister of Field Marshal out there. I put the emails out there for recruiting Cruiser 7000. For now, that seemed to be the one I can remember is Cruiser 7000 for recruiting all across the nation because we need to catch it before it happens in these cases, not after the fact, you know. We're coming up after the fact and see if we can get some justice and laws change and the hate crime bill for black folks and get that on the books, you know, and create hate crime investigations on these matters. But most importantly, I would say we need to definitely be recruiting so that we have neighborhood watches and neighborhood patrols and stop these type of things before they happen. You know, so that if we see a young black man or anyone getting pulled over for walking down the street, which is ridiculous, then we can all form around that situation and let them know that they're standing there, they're being watched and patrolled. The police being watched, the police being patrolled, you know, bring their accountability. They always want to talk about accountability, but they don't have no accountability. And very seldom do they get caught with their hand in the cookie jar. And when they do, if the citizens aren't watching, they still get a slap on the wrist. And now that the citizens are paying attention, maybe we can bring some real justice to this situation. And I know it's been given out before. I'm going to give it out again, though. 77 Bakers, $77 Bakers, is to get us where we need to be. Because we definitely need to be in North Carolina, South Carolina, and it sounds to me like there's a lot of kinfolk right there in Queens and Brooklyn. So we need to get up to Brooklyn and get these matters looked into and organizing up there from one end to the other. Well, you know, we have people in Los Angeles, on the West Coast, East Coast, and Midwest as well. So we need to hit it all in one time, you know, get all these rallies going just about simultaneously if possible. If we would hit all of our city council at all at one time for this hate crime bill and for the land acquisition of South Carolina itself to be our reparation state, then we need to get that done. We need to get to those places so that we can get it done. And again, that's $77 Bakers, so we can get there. And we can make sure that the family is taken care of and put our boots on the ground for that and continue. So it's not just one place, because I've seen it just consistently, Chicago, St. Louis, Texas, now Mississippi. Mississippi's coming up on the rise again, where they're showing their hate-filled ways, you know, like the old wooden tooth George Washington and Martha Washington having slaves in the backyard, yet they want to call them the father of our country and give them all this honor of traveling over the Chesapeake. And if they look at that picture of traveling over Chesapeake, I think they got one slave in there. He's the one rowing the boat. So don't be fooled by the okey-doke. They still are open and vicious enemy to a point. And then you got the ones that are talking like they want to have a civil war on our behalf. So we got to know who's who, you know, different between the oppressor, whether it be somebody who's a fulfillment decoy that looks just like me and you that walk in the door, but ain't going to bust a grape on Christmas and is about as, like you always say, Akbar, about as useless as titty flaps on Warthog. So while they're examining us up and down to make sure that we're doing things right behind closed doors in Los Angeles, they're calling us whatever they can, dogs and monkeys behind our backs in the Spanish language, you know, because you do have the Spanish people out there that are linked up with the white folks, and you got the black folks that's following behind them too. So you got to know who's who, you know. You can't teach heart, you can't teach integrity, or you either got it or you don't. And the real recognize real. So black power, keep it real. And again, the 77 Bakers will get us where we got to go. And most of the time that's been at the expense of our cars, and we need to keep them oiled up and ready. Even my own is breaking down from too much traveling right now, and it's brand new. So we need to keep it on, keep it going. Black power, black love, black dignity, black respect. And if they won't march with us, we'll march through them. Black power. I yield the mic.
Black power. A strong black military. He's in control of the military. His words are strong and firm, and we're proud to serve with him, beside him, in the ranks, anywhere we can take orders from him. Consider that a privilege, brother and sister. Anybody in the sound of my voice, if Black Lightning gives you an order, to consider the privilege to carry out. He's not going to harm you. He's not going to tell you to jump off the bridge, shoot so-and-so. But he's going to tell you something to protect yourself and protect your interests and your family. Skilled, that's what we're trying to explain to you. Very few people possess the skills to really help you in your hour of need. And he is one of those very few people. I feel distinguished and honored that I can leave my money, my clothing, my family, and feel well protected with a man like Black Lightning. And he is a dedicated man, and I really feel proud to serve with him and with you all.
Same here. Thank you, sir. Black power. Thank you, brother.
Brother Israel is our chief of staff. Brother Karan has been on our national field marshal, and just many, many of those officers. And we're sorry that our Minister of Justice is not online tonight, but she's fighting yet another battle, as Black Lightning has said. The racism on City Council in Los Angeles, another problem. I'm not going to tell you to stop saying our brown brothers and sisters, but all them brownies ain't right, and all brownies ain't bright, and all brownies is not out of sight before midnight. Just might not be right for you and I today. And they have a big problem with racism, City Council. Mark Ridley Thomas was black man, put off the City Council. It was corruption and lying and stealing. And now you got this Hispanic business, Nutty Head Nelly and all of them in the City Council. There are racial slurs at we the people. So deep down, how they feel about you has been surfacing for years, and now it's out in the open, and they put them all off the City Council. So they're stuck out there in L.A., and she's trying to manage really with the real homeless, the people of Skid Row and those that have found themselves to be homeless and without food, clothing, and shelter, transportation, trying to live. They say they're trying to survive. We're giving the Black Panther to teach them how to live in an environment. Dr. King said, forget about where I was educated. Forget about my education. But you tell them that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. died trying to help somebody. Huh? So my living will what not be in vain. Well, you got to teach them how to live. Your education will teach you how to live and stop surviving. The rat, the cat, the dog, the ant, they know how to survive. The chicken sees one head get cut off, he's going to duck you as best he can. He ain't going to set himself up to get his head chopped off. But you run around like a chicken with your goddamn head cut off. You got to know where your allegiances should lie and know when to tell the opposition goodbye. And I will leave it here tonight. I've
I think I've talked to everybody. Well, damn near everybody I could talk to. And we're showing love. I don't know if the chief of staff has anything going to meet us or greet us or beat us to Roxbury on Saturday. And we're going to be Black in Spartanburg as soon as we agree to the date. So we got a lot to do, a lot of work, Black Lightning. We thank you for being the best Minister of Defense ever. And keep up the good work for the chief of staff, all of you in the family of Delane and the Reese family. We respect you. We love you. And all of those great organizations that have come to support the Reese and Lane family, in the name of Lavelle Lane, that we will find a way, we will make a way to bring justice his way in a manner that it will be effective at this hour. So teaches Malcolm X to be skillful and effective against the opposition. And we know you must take a hardline position on the assessed gigantic environmental influences that are against we the people. And they say, how are you going to make that Black nation rise? We're going to agitate, we're going to educate, and we're going to organize. And as we continue to organize and build, as we continue to recruit and build, we just know it's so much love here that we can give. And the greatest gift, according to Scripture, that we could give is love. And the greatest love we've ever had is the Black Panther love. And we continue to give gift that keeps on giving. And we give love and we make love. We are great in feeding we the people and living a good life, land acquisition, we the people government, and all of those great attributes. And then I open all the mics. If anybody got anything to say, you can say it on Black Power Radio. We have nothing to hide, no reason to deny you your freedom of speech right here on our airways, speaking to the whole worldwide population of people all over the world know about Black Power Radio, 11 straight years of radio, which have brought us to the point of the greatest and most informative radio talk show on the internet, on your smartphone, dumb phone, Android, paranoid phone. We're just here to service we the people. Does anybody have anything to say? Well, all of your lines are open. Black Power.
Black Power. Ooh, street.
Black Power. Thank everybody.
Black Power.
Street. Ooh,
Lana. You could have been asleep with one of my pillow, but you decided to stay up with us late tonight here on Black Power Radio, and we're grateful to all of you and to the Lane family. Miss Beverly Lane, are you with us?
Yes, sir. I'm still here.
You have a prayer for us or someone to select it to give a closing remark, a spiritual advice, or a prayer for us tonight. We all need it, and we neglect the prayers so much, and we just know that at this hour we're actually we've got a new spiritual advisor, and they'll be coming on board within the next few weeks. So there you are. So anyone who wants to close with prayer, it's fine with us.
I'll do it.
Thank you so much. God bless your heart. Bless your heart.
Bless you. Father God, we come to you humbly as we can. We just ask you just to continue guide our steps. Give us the knowledge that we lack, and you be in control, Father. You just do what needs to be done, keep what needs to be kept, and weed out what needs to be weeded out. You know all. You see all. We don't know. You know. And I ask you, just by our faith, that we go forward and be successful. And I have faith in you, and I know we're going to be successful because you are the beginning and the end. And just protect us as we go forward, protect our going out, and protect our coming in. Keep your hedge wrapped around us, that no hurt, harm, or danger comes with us going down these dangerous highways and byways. Let us be heard, Father. Let us be heard all over the nation, not just in South Carolina, not just in New York, not just in Washington. Let us be heard all over the nation. You know, when man closed doors, you open them, and they cannot be shut. We just ask you, Lord, just for your grace and your mercy. Lord, and I just ask you just to keep your protection around each and every one of us. and let justice, not just for my son, for all who are going through these trials and tribulations. And I pray that we keep our health and strength, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. I pray. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen, Lord. Amen, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
Amen.
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 And we all get together very soon, within less than 48 hours. Thank you so much, all of you, for sacrificing from your families and your homework and your job in the morning and all of these things. And we are so grateful to the Almighty God for opening a possibility for us. For all that we've said, we already knew. Our main man, Marvin Gaye, has said it best. My.
Brighter. Someday, yeah.
brighter.
Man could be.